another exciting broadcast day.
Wow. 866-901-ADAM. Phone number. We are what's called loaded for bear today. We got Adam Sandler on the show. August books someone who's named after the big celebrity Adam Sandler? I'm confused.
It must be so fascinating going through life sharing the name Adam Sandler.
Yeah. This guy calls himself the king of MySpace.
He has a million friends.
Yeah. No, I think it is the Adam Sandler.
From
everybody.
Chuck and Larry?
If there's another famous Adam Sandler, you'll have to go by like Adam L. Sandler,
right,
or something, according to SAG rules. Deaf frat guy in studio. Also, do a little Nicaraguan Name That Tune with the great Oswaldo. Joel McHale. It's a real reunion show. All the favorites, all the names, the Def Frat guys, the Joel McHales, the Oswaldos, all going to be on the show today, as well as a tearful goodbye to phone screener Kyle. Not sure what his last name is. Kyle.
Bauer.
So that'll,
Bauer.
Yes, we all bow before the great Kyle. And let's get on his last name.
Bauer.
Bauer. Bonaducci is in Atlanta?
Yes.
Or as I like to call it, Atlanta?
I like to call it, people sometimes call it Atlanta.
Hotlanta, they call it. That's where Bonaducci is. He's got a gig tonight.
Comedy
gig tonight. And I guess he should be popping up on the phone. He's got what we call an ISDN line. ISDN line is like this broadcast quality line that works three quarters of the time, but this may be the quarter it's not working. I had one in my house when I used to do Howard Stern. Eventually, when I was doing Stern full time, or at least quite a bit of the time, they just installed one of these lines into my house. I literally just had a radio microphone and this little device, sort of the size of a little briefcase called a Zephyr. Plug that thing in, dial it in. And then I would go to my office and hang bed sheets all around me, because acoustically you could totally tell the difference between the hardwood floor and just the painted walls and no curtains and everything versus all the bed sheets. I would take clamps and clamp them up all around the office and hang them off the ceiling fan and stuff. So I was like in the cone of silence. And then I would get up at 3 in the morning after going to bed at 2 in the morning.
Huh, some more of a nap.
Yeah, I worked nights, so I would go to bed at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then I'd get up at 2:45. And I'd go in the office and do Stern until like 8 o'clock in the morning. And then I'd have a nice glass of red wine. Because here's the thing about booze. It's not what time is it. It's what time is it in your head.
To you.
To you. That's why if you're flying to Tokyo and you've been up all night or whatever, you can have a highball at 5:30 in the morning or 9:30 in the morning. Because in your head, it's booze time.
It's happy hour.
So the Dooch Man is in Atlanta, and we should be getting him soon enough.
Ooh.
Oh, there he is.
He does.
Hello, boys and girls.
What's happening?
I was very scared for a moment. I've been sitting right here talking to you, answering all your questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know what's funny is you sound like you can hear me.
Oh, really?
You'd say, hey, Danny, and I'd say, hey, and you go, and you know what? And I would just assume that you heard me.
Ah. Well, now, where are you in Atlanta?
I am in Atlanta. What city is this in Atlanta?
Atlanta is a city.
I am in the city. Well, there's suburbs everywhere. I'm sorry. I'm in Midtown?
Midtown.
I'm in Midtown, Atlanta.
Midtown, Atlanta. And what facility are you at?
I'm at the radio station called Dave, I believe.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. That's in between John and Steve, FM?
I'm sure it is. Yes, it is.
And, all right, so, of course, Danny's going to be with us all morning broadcasting from Atlanta. And what are you doing tonight?
Tonight I am at a place called the Funny Farm in Roswell.
Good
times. Which makes me kind of nervous, because I am traveling with a school teacher who said, oh, wow, we're going to be in Roswell where the spaceship landed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. different one.
I didn't know there was a Roswell, Georgia, or Roswell, Atlanta, or whatever it is. And again, I've said this many times, Danny, I think you would definitely be down with this. There's, you know, a couple of Rochesters, there's a bunch of Springfields, there's a few Salems.
There's a couple of Pittsburghs.
Oh, there's Paris, Texas, there's Rome, Alabama.
Yeah, but I'm talking within the United States. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I, because the thing is the Rome or the Paris or the whatever, to me, at least you're outside of the country. I can't do anything about that. But from inside of the country, I would like there to only be one.
Right. There shouldn't be a Shreveport, Los Angeles.
Right.
Right. Okay, I'm with you.
Right. I would like Salem, Oregon to go at it with Salem, Maine, or whatever, Portland,
Massachusetts.
Or Massachusetts, or wherever the hell it is. I only want one. I think it'd be the greatest pay-per-view ever. All the cities represent. We get the toughest guy in every city, and that's it. And the loser, when the city loses, the winner gets to pick the name.
Right, like Puss Town.
Yeah, Crapville, Wussburg, Herpington. You know, places like that.
I like that.
Who wouldn't watch that? And you want to talk about the towns coming out in support.
How long do you have to remain Herpington?
That's it.
Well, especially, if your name is Herpington, it's only Herpington like for 3 or 4 days a month, and then you can change it to something else, and then you got to wait for the next outbreak.
Yeah.
By the way, Danny, did you see yourself? I know you've been busy and traveling, but did you see yourself on Perez Hilton?
No, what's up?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday you went to deliver some bagels to Posh Spice on your hog.
I remember distinctly.
There's a photo of you on your hog. The bagels in your saddlebag.
Uh-huh.
Cigarette is drawn in by Perez.
Mm.
And says how you were denied.
Oh, I saw that.
I was denied. I was denied by a cute blonde guy that I thought, okay, I'm going to talk tough to this guy. And then I noticed the flak jacket. And I thought, this guy's not kidding. These guys are serious.
Flak jackets have become sort of commonplace now. Even the security guys who are working home security are wearing them. I wonder what, if you're a Beckham, I wonder how many guys you need. You know, I wonder what a normal detail is. And I wonder how much you pay them, and I wonder how many you have. And then there's this other part, and it's something I've had to get used to because I've had the twins, which is people you've not known for your entire life wandering around your house.
Right.
Like, I'm 43, and I have people wandering around my house I didn't know when I was 42. And they're 40-something, and they didn't know me until they were 42.
Right.
And yet we spend more time together than many, many people I wish to spend more time with.
You know what's weird is we have the exact opposite problem. I mean, not that mine is a problem. Mine's kind of cool. But I was just walking up here. It's 10 after 9 here in Atlanta. So I'm actually, I came up through a mall, a shopping mall, and this woman I had never seen before just gave me this big hug and kiss and said, oh, I've known you all my life. And I'm thinking, no, you haven't. You don't know me at all. So you've got people that you didn't know till recently living in your house, and I've got people 50 years old swearing they've known me their whole lives.
Yeah, well,
so it's the opposite end of the spectrum.
Either way, even though everyone's nice, it is weird. There is this thing where if you have a decent-sized spread and you make a couple of ducats and maybe you're in a high-profile gig, you will have people wandering around your house all day. I guarantee the Beckhams have 5 security guards and then 3 nannies, and then the pool guy and the gardener and whoever else. When David Beckham comes home from soccer practice, there's probably 10 people at his house that he doesn't know.
Yeah, I would assume that's true.
And everyone thinks that's a good thing. I don't. I'm not a huge fan of that.
I'm with you. In fact, Adam, when I was over your place, I remember thinking there's some gardeners here and there's Olga. There are a bunch of people. It's not as private.
No, it is not, and, you know, man's home is his castle, and someone's got to mow the lawn, but I don't know, can't they figure out a way to do it where you don't have to hang out and say hi to everybody?
Tell them not to look you in the eye.
Look at your shoes, son. Good job.
The truth is, it's Adam Carolla we're talking about. When a man's home is his castle, there's nobody mowing the lawn as much as dredging the moat.
Yes.
You gotta get past the moat.
It is true.
Castle.
It reminds me, the lead is starting to cool in those buckets on the second floor.
It's always a drag, man.
Reheat those.
Oil.
Well, I had a little experience. I ate breakfast this morning, and I thought to myself as I was eating my breakfast, nobody has ever had this much range in breakfast. From a culinary standpoint, nobody's gone farther to the right and the left than I just did this morning, which is somebody, and I think it was phone screener Kyle, announced to everyone in the office that Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is coming out with some commemorative Elvis peanut butter cup, which has chocolate, peanut butter, and banana. And everyone's eyes just got as big as saucers and says, well, who's not going to like this? And then somebody...
Angie.
Even Angie likes it. And by the way, it says it right on the package. Even Angie likes it. And if you have a food, that's the endorsement you want. Forget about the athlete. Forget about Mikey from Life Cereal. If producer Angie says she'll eat it, that's the great... That means there's nobody on the planet who won't eat it. She dug it. We all dug it, and somebody gave me one to take home. And I threw it in the fridge, and I woke up this morning, and I thought, ooh, those peanut butter cups are sitting in there. There's nothing better than something sweet with a cup of coffee. So I ate two Elvis Reese's peanut butter cups with bananas, and then I had two poached eggs.
Ooh, and I thought,
you don't go further in either direction than this. The poached egg, nothing more boring. Nothing, you know, there's no butter in it. There's no ham. There's no, you know, it's not scrambled up with some onions and shortening or whatever. It's just boiled, poached eggs. And the thing I ate just before I ate that tasteless white matter that came out of the pot was the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Actually, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup omelet.
Ooh.
Wow.
No,
so you put it that way. Now you're talking.
Wait, let me get this straight. What's the banana in there? Some kind of banana cream?
Yeah, some sort of banana cream. It's a layer of peanut butter, a layer of banana, and then the chocolate.
Well, the layer of banana, to be honest, is a layer of chemical flavor.
Yes, base polymer.
It's moon pie and stuff like that.
Right? Yeah, it's not like you're actually eating a banana. But it tastes like, it tastes like banana, so what if your fingernails glow? All right, we need to take ourselves a break. We're going to continue with our phone screener auditions. Kyle is moving on today. Today is his last day here.
Who screens these calls?
He's heading off to Jimmy Kimmel Live. Bigger and better things.
Yeah.
We need to take ourselves a break, but we need a new phone screener. Now, we have some people that are looking pretty good, but we feel like we could always do better. 866-901-ADAM. Give us a call. We'll give you an update. I'll tell you where we're at next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaduce and Teresa Strasser. And now with an early critique of this morning's show, our program director, Jack Silver.
Check it, peeps! Today we got Joel McHale from The Soup on E! The Deaf Rat Guy! We'll play Nicaraguan Name That Dude with Ozzy singing The Grateful Dead! And Adam Sandler! Hey, I got a bone to pick with that guy! He ripped off my semi-autobiographical script! I now pronounce you Jack and Leo! I'll see you in court!
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I don't know why, but I just thought a nice slogan for a company that made either tennis shoes, literally tennis shoes, or basketball shoes would be, I'll see you on court. I don't know why. Seven, maybe six and a half. Bonaduce is in Atlanta. Hi, Atlanta. He's got a show tonight over at Chuckle Hut.
Close enough, buddy. It's the Funny Farm, and the phone number is something, 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 ha-ha.
Good times. All right.
And I've already done like eight radio shows this morning because we're 3 hours ahead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I've been up since like 2 o'clock in the morning LA time doing the Nut Hut and the Nudge. Picking people in the sack. Actually, it's pretty good. It's not bad at all. Although, there's nothing here but Michael Vick.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing here but Michael Vick.
I actually got dumped from a sports station. That wanted to talk to me about the comedy club, and they said, "Nah, we're doing nothing but Michael Vick today." And I said, "Oh, I got a ton of Vick jokes."
Mm-hmm.
And then just went.
Yeah,
I didn't really. I don't even know who this guy is except he kills dogs. I'm
probably divided the town of Atlanta.
Oh my God!
Well, I will say this about Vic. This could be one of those blessings in disguise because while not a big football fan, Danny, I am, and I happen to know that the guys with the quarterbacks, the teams with the quarterbacks that try to put the team on their shoulders and win Super Bowls don't oftentimes do it.
Right.
It just, you know, Vic is a great athlete, but it's been 6 years, and he ain't doing a whole lot of winning over there. Perhaps they need someone who's not trying to win the game single-handedly.
Well, here's the thing, Adam, that this is weird that this is something I've always wanted to do with you, by the way, discuss something that I know nothing about and then did. Mm-hmm. So I actually know things about this Vic guy now that I didn't know. First of all, he's not just a dog killer, which is, you know, good enough for me on any given day. But now we know stuff about him. An alleged dog killer.
Mm-hmm.
He also, he's been, according to the people who hate him, nothing on a plight but Atlanta since he got here. He's also, he's the guy that flipped off all the fans.
Right.
Okay? He's also the guy that had a big bottle of water when he was going through the airport. And they said, sir, you can't carry those liquids. And he froze. And he really didn't want to get rid of his bottle of water right on. Obviously, Brian knows the story. And finally, he threw out his bottle of water, and security was suspicious. So they dug the bottle out of the trash can, and sure enough, it had a false bottom with marijuana residue in it.
Right. Mm.
So this guy's had his problems already.
Yeah, and I don't care about guys smoking weed. I just care about guys that are so stupid that they try to bring it through the airport. Although I did bring a huge doobie through McCarran in Vegas once when someone gave it to me at a bachelor party. But that's a story for a different day. Point is maybe they'd be better off without him. All right, what you need is, here's the deal. And then we're taking phone screener calls.
Good.
When you have a guy who's essentially Superman, who's playing quarterback, the rest of the team goes, hey, buddy, go out there and win it for us. Right. The defense, the offensive line, the wide receivers, everyone does it. When you have the slow-footed white guy who was drafted in the 26th round, the whole rest of the team goes, we better win this one. Because the balding, slow-footed white guy sure as hell ain't going to win this one for us. And then the rest of the team steps up, and the defense wins the Super Bowl for him.
And Hasselbeck.
If you go back and look at Hasselbeck,
wow.
If you go back and look at the Ravens' victory, if you go look at Tampa's Super Bowl victory, if you take a look, even Tom Brady and Joe Montana and great quarterbacks like that are only great because they know their own limitations and they're smart. And they check the ball off and don't try to go for the home run each play.
Well, Montana was only good until the truth broke his knee.
That's right.
I can only relate in basketball terms because Kobe, arguably the best player, right, in the NBA, yet the Lakers, not so good.
Yeah, it's the way it works. Team sports, everyone. Hey, Darren?
Hey,
I put him on hold. Let's see, Darren?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's happening? You want to be our new phone screener or you just have an idea?
Got an idea. I think since you guys are giving up Kyle to Jimmy, I think you should get Cousin Sal.
Wow.
A trade?
Yeah. They weigh the same. Cousin Sal. Jimmy's Cousin Sal. I got to tell you, Jimmy's Cousin Sal gets people in headlocks and figure fours. He breaks wind on people's heads. He's such a practical joker. And it seems like it's a fun time to work with a practical joker. But
I hate practical jokes.
It gets old, and he's relentless. And you know what else he does? Cousin Sal, part of his repertoire is if Teresa left the room and I said, looks like someone left their house this morning in a rush, didn't have time to do their hair, he would immediately tell Teresa. And I've seen 1,000 people in that situation. No one has a good enough poker face. They're like, No, I didn't. And they always overcompensate. I did not, Teresa. I didn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Why would I talk about your hair? Who would talk? Have you ever heard me talk about your hair? And they go too far, and then you realize they're guilty. And even though Sal's kidding, everyone's pissed off at each other.
Pot stir.
Yeah, he's a pot stir.
You make him work with Ray.
Mmm.
Oh.
See, I've come to warm up to Ray. Mm-hmm. I think Ray is one of those basic animal boys that doesn't have a real instinct to be accepted anywhere. But after a while, once you get to know his idiosyncrasies, And maybe this is because I was going to say, if I was in a bar fight, and maybe not that many people think in those terms, but if I were in a bar fight, and I have been, I would not mind having Ray have my back. And he's not the toughest or biggest guy in the world, but he's dead serious and seems real loyal. I like him.
Well, as I've said, if you want to talk about Ray's loyalty, the guy who hit me with a baseball bat when I got in a street fight with somebody else, the guy came up behind me and hit me with a baseball bat and not poked me with the baseball bat, took a full home run swing at me with the baseball bat. I was looking for the guy for a year, never did find him, and Ray found him.
Yeah.
Ray found the guy, and he found him at a party. And when he found him, he got him in a headlock, and he dragged him into the bathroom that I was in. That's what Ray did. And after I got the attacked with the baseball bat and had all the guys jump on me and had the other guy break the bottle over me in the same evening, after I staggered home, Ray had caught wind of this, and Ray went flying up to the house.
Yep, see, that's my boy.
And Ray went flying up to the house with my buddy Chris, but they knew there were five guys at this house who had just got done hitting me with a bat and breaking a bottle over me, and they didn't know who these guys were other than there was five guys at a house, and the two of them went up to the house and went right through the front door and started looking for the guys that beat the crap out of me. So that's a certain kind of loyalty.
Yeah, you don't find that. You don't find that every day. And it took me a minute, you know, to get past his reputation as the poop flinger.
Yes.
To go, that's a guy who, all right, if it's his idiosyncrasy, he wants to fling a little poop my way every now and again, get a laugh. But he'll have my back when he knows there's five guys with a bat, and he comes marching in anyway. That's my boy.
Yes. And into each life, some poop may fall.
Yeah, that's a slogan.
As they say. The funny thing about that story is I never even talked to Chris and Ray. They just heard I was in trouble up on some house in the hills, and they went right up in there. They had no idea what weapons these guys had. I guess they knew they had a bat, at least. All right, let's see. And to be fair to Ray, he doesn't always fling poo. Sometimes he defecates in a desk.
Right.
Like he did in Kimmel's desk over at the Man Show. Sam?
Hi, Mr. Adam Carolla. It's an honor speaking to you.
Oh, I like you already, Sam.
Yes, sir.
You want to be our phone screener?
Absolutely, and I will wipe clean anything anybody's behind over there at the Adam Carolla Show, because this show is basically my life.
Appreciate the offer. Well, Sam, let me ask you a couple of quick questions.
Yes, sir.
First, flavored tea.
Mango flavored tea.
Huh? What's your favorite flavor?
I don't have a flavor. It's just tea.
All right. Nice. Brian, get ready. Come on, buddy. Thank you. Cake or pie, Sam?
I love pie.
Pie?
Correct the mundo.
And which flavor pie might be your favorite?
I'm going to have to go with pumpkin.
Sam, you're batting 1,000.
Thank you.
Prince. What do you think of Prince?
He absolutely positively sucks.
Yeah, wow, yeah, man.
And the future, are you proud of it?
The future?
Are you proud of the future?
Tough question. Looking at how we live nowadays, and plus me, I am positively the future. It doesn't work too well for me or the future.
I'm going to give that one a question mark. Let me give you a scenario.
Yes, sir.
Jack Silver calls, says he has something important to say, wants to be put through on the air. Do you do it?
First of all, look at you and give you a... Do you want to talk to Jack Silver?
But I'm looking down. I'm reading something. You have to make a split-second decision. Do you put Jack Silver on or not?
I would definitely not put him on.
Oh, all right. Good. Whew. That was close. Hey, Sam?
Yes, sir.
You live in East L.A.?
Yes. Land of... diversity there,
Yeah, I live over there in the east part of L.A., Sam.
What's your heritage, Sam?
If you want to know, I am half Guatemalan and half Salvadoran. So,
So you're a Mexican.
Yeah, we can pass you off as a Mexican?
You sure can.
Are you bilingual?
I do speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And you're not one of these proud guys, because you got to understand, Bonaducci and I are both the same way. We're old school. You're either white, you're black, you're Asian, or you're Mexican. We don't have the time for the Nicaraguans and El Salvadorians and all this stuff. You understand? I don't need to be corrected. Like when I go, when I say, what do you mean I don't love Mexicans? Sam over here is like a brother to me. I don't want you stepping in and going, actually, my parents are from El Salvador. You're just Mexican.
Yeah.
Will you accept being Mexican from here on out?
I'm, for you guys, I'm 100% full-blooded Mexican.
Yeah.
Right. You're from Jalisco.
Yeah.
Jalisco.
Yeah, let me paint you an example. I'll paint you an example. Well, us white people do it all the time. I'm Italian, but if people call me sweet, I just nod my head. You see? Do you see? We do it. You tell an Irish guy he's from Italy or an Italian guy he's from England, they'll go along with it.
Yeah,
sure, we
will.
Yeah, we don't care.
What does Sam do for a living?
Sam, what do you do?
Right now?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You know what that means.
Sam, we're going to push you through to the semi-quarterfinals.
Yeah. You're good. I like you.
All right.
All right. Just by virtue of the fact that you listen to at least 5 hours of the show morning.
We're only on for four.
Right.
By the way, Sam sounds great. I've been campaigning for a female because we don't have very many here. We do have a few emails.
Mm-hmm.
One in particular that I like. From Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I know the difference between veal and venison and have since I was 11. Mm-hmm. I am smart, cute, and young, 23. Mm-hmm. And I would never compete with Teresa because I admire her beauty and brains too much. What's wrong with Jessica?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with Jessica. She's sucking up to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
That's true. It kind of shows she doesn't quite understand how things work.
The guy, you don't know the power structure, baby.
The guy she's sucking up to has a vagina. Let's.
I've had that happen in reverse.
Wasn't sucking either. Carlos?
Yes, Adam Corolla.
Another Latin brother from East L.A.?
Seymour.
Mm-hmm.
I want to work for you. I don't. You're that, like the best man. I'm the best man for the job.
Is this a character or a real person?
I say it's a character, but it's based on many real people in my life.
Oh yeah, it's based on very real people.
What do you do for a living, Carlos?
Construction.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard worker. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
I take care of your babies and everything.
Yes, you do.
But the question is, do you take care of your babies?
Mm-hmm.
I only have one baby.
You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you
do? Now we know it's a character.
Let me ask you a couple of construction questions, Carlos.
Nice to talk to you.
I just do cabinets. That's it.
You do cabinets?
Yes, I do, sir.
All right.
Still guys, yes.
What is the difference between a dado and a rabbit joint?
I do not know.
But yet you do cabinets.
I'm just a burro. You know how they do it.
He started out, the accent was pretty authentic, and it kind of degraded.
At a certain point, it went a little Scarface.
It did.
All right, what is the difference between
a rabbit and a dado joint?
Okay, a dado joint is that folk singer chick when she gets high before she goes on, and a rabbit is a cool adult device.
Yeah. Tell Danny to move on.
Even I can answer that, dude.
Jennifer?
Yes?
You're a fan of the show?
Yes. Everybody else who's been calling that doesn't really know anything about the show.
Degrading other fans. I like that. What do you want to do for the show? You'd like to be the phone screener?
Yes.
What are your qualifications?
Besides knowing pretty much everything about the show and listening to you guys since before Dave Damashek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now I work in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I work in an accounting department. I'm an industry cost analyst.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of
mm-hmm.
Finger holes.
Mm-hmm. What flavor iced tea do you like?
Iced.
Mm-hmm. Good. Do you like tea flavor? Cake or pie?
Pie.
Mm-hmm. Prove to me you're not crazy.
I like your show.
This is good. Jennifer, can you type? Are you good on the phones?
Yes.
And finally, what am I thinking of right now?
Hitting off the phone with me.
Oh, my goodness. She's made it through.
Now, listen, you said that you would like somebody to look at, because you look right through the glass at the phone screener, who's appealing to the eye.
Well,
what about Jennifer?
Let's put it this way. aesthetics are aesthetics, right?
Right.
I mean, when you work in an office environment, they don't have bare walls that are just a drywall joint and tape and mud and no carpet on the floor. You put up something. Sometimes you put a poster up. You put a sign up. I mean, it's an aesthetic. Anywhere you go, you want to be looking at something.
Sure.
Why should I spend my entire work day looking at Kyle's big bearded, hairy face? He looks like the 11th member of the Doobie Brothers.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I mean, Jennifer doesn't need to be a supermodel, but you'd like her to be pleasing to look at.
Jennifer?
Yes?
What do you look like?
I have pretty long hair. It's kind of blondish red.
Mm-hmm.
And I have blue eyes.
You're a great big fat person.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it.
Uh-oh.
Lose the weight, chubby.
What are you coming in at weight-wise?
Below 200, because I know that's what you're going to ask.
Below 200.
Wait, how tall again?
5'6".
5'6".
Around 215.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adam Carolla is teaching me radio math.
Yeah. Well, the only part you didn't factor in is the 5'6 part. That's 5'4 and 13/16ths.
Over
200
right.
pounds. You got to deduct. Here's what you do, Danny.
Sorry.
You deduct an inch or two in the height, and you add 10 or 20 pounds in the weight. That's how it goes.
Holy Toledo, she's like 5'1 and a half, 322.
Is that about right?
No.
Big gal?
Kind of.
All right.
That doesn't bother me a bit.
My boobs and my butt.
You got big boobs?
Yeah, I have F.
And F.
Mm-hmm.
You have a F cup, and not too proud to perform lots of oral.
Only for you.
All right. Well, come on down. And Teresa, too.
What happened to me? What am I, chopped liver?
Well, when you get back from Atlanta, of course.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm the only one that actually appreciates the big brother.
I sense that Jennifer would be a hard worker.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, listen. Hang on, Jennifer.
Fat pig.
Stop it.
We had...
Brian, what an a-hole.
Awful.
He used to be fat, so he gets to make fun of.
Evil ball.
No, it's like, look, you know how the brothers can use the N-word?
Right. He can make
former
fun.
Former fatties can use the F-word. You know what I mean?
I didn't know all that.
When I met Bald Brian, he was big and fat. Now he's got a score to settle.
I'm not sure that that's completely accurate. Imagine if a brother who haphazardly used the N-word and nobody cared was no longer black.
Mm-hmm.
He was blonde with blue hair or blue eyes and walked down into Compton and started using the N-word, he'd get his ass beat. I don't think just because Brian used to be fat, he either gets to get fat again and play that card or shut up.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
It'd be nice
soon and beat your ass, Brian.
Well, Danny makes a valid point, but I still say that Brian is grandfathered in on making fun of fatso.
I would think he'd be grandfathered into a thing called empathy.
Now, Brian will tell you...
I think he's been in a couple of grandfathers.
Brian will tell you firsthand what it's like to have a good-looking, young, hot phone screener. We had Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, over at Loveline for about 3 years, and she made me miserable because she was a hot, young chick. And I may be a celebrity because I'm the host of the syndicated show known as Loveline, but she's a bigger celebrity because she's a hot chick.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the deal is when I go outside of the studio, well, I don't know what percentage of society knows, hey, there goes Adam Carolla from The Man Show and Loveline, but 100% of society recognizes, there goes the hot 22-year-old.
Yes, I've just realized something, and I have to pronounce it not the way it's pronounced, because I can't say it on the radio, but the word teat is right in the word entitlement.
Mm.
Think about it.
She had him, and she had him. And I used to go in, and I'd be like, hey, Tara, listen, we're getting way too many calls about herpes. And she'd go, it's Tara. And one of our famous arguments was her staring at the TV that was on in the studio, or not in the studio, but in the phone screening room. Much like most radio stations have a TV monitor hanging up on the wall, and the sound is down, but you can watch CNN, figure out if there's some big Columbine-type school shooting or something, so you can report on it. For some reason...
We watched The Simpsons.
They used to watch The Simpsons. And every once in a while, I would look through the glass at Loveline, and I would see Engineer Anderson laughing, or Tara laughing, or Producer Ann laughing, and I would think, oh, they must have tickled their fancy, and then I realized it's their favorite episode of The Simpsons. I said, why are they looking up at that strange angle, Ann laughing? Why aren't they looking at me? Turns out they were laughing at The Simpsons, and the sound wasn't even up. I came in to talk to her about too many phone calls we were getting about a certain subject, and in the middle of it, she started laughing and yelled like, oh my God, at the TV set. And I said, hey, Tara, I need you to focus on what I'm saying. And she said, I can watch TV and listen to you at the same time. I said, I don't think you can. I think you need to look at me when I'm telling you this stuff. And she said, you're not my boss. I said, yeah, I am your boss. And she said, you can't fire me. And I thought, oh, my God, can I fire you? I could probably fire your family, and they don't even work here, bitch. And she was, she couldn't believe that the guy who hosted the show had the temerity to come in and talk to her about her job during her vacation time, which was commercials. That's the way she looked at it.
We gotta get her in here.
This is kind of interesting, because the word teat, if you will, is an entitlement. Teresa, what word is in dictator?
Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
Decent point.
But it's fair. I'd have killed her. I'd have killed her. You know when girls lose me? The time after they say, you say, hey, Tara, and they go, Tara. One time after that, it's like, hey, it's a little mistake. You're going to do this to me every friggin' time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she was there.
I got called Danny Buttafuoco yesterday. Like, swear to God on my life. On the life of my children, the guy screaming down the street. And normally I just say, yeah, I don't care as long as you recognize me. But this guy was like so loud and embarrassing. I went, no, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I am not Danny Buttafuoco.
Well, let's see. Should we take another call? We got Taylor Hicks on the line.
We have a full bank of calls.
Tony's unemployed. Taylor Hicks from American Idol. The winner from the year before last, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see. John?
Yeah.
From Chino?
Yes, John from Chino Hills.
How say you?
I'll say me is every single morning since Danny has gotten on that show, he has ruined my morning show. He's ruined it with his darn comments, and he's ruined it with his analogies. You know, Adam,
give me a break.
How about the Dick and Dictator? That was a 9.5.
The bagels to Beckham?
The show is really good for us intelligent people, like me and Adam, right? Adam, like, he makes a great analogy. He goes off on a tangent, and he starts using, like, it's sort of like this, right? And then Danny will just... He'll just stop the flow. Okay? And then...
Hold on, John.
John. He'll say, I'd rather poke my eyes out. I swear to God.
Do you want the phone screener job or not?
No, I hate
all that. Right, I was going to move you along to the next round.
I got an idea. That would have been fun.
All right, John.
Yes.
John, obviously you're a man of discerning taste. But the problem is you and I don't have Arbitron books. Mm-hmm. You understand?
I don't understand.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, you don't understand?
You don't?
No, what did you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last one.
Oh, okay.
Well, you didn't hear, you don't understand. What, are you an idiot or deaf?
Oh, that's good.
Uh-oh. What do you do for a living, John?
I'm an aerospace engineer.
Oh, listen.
Oh, there's your problem.
You're too smart.
Yeah.
Because Danny just stops the show, and then every single word that comes out of Danny's mouth, it's so absolute. It's just, he just said, like, oh, I swear to God, hold God on. Of my life.
How about the Dick and Dictator?
Thank you.
Thank you.
John, I appreciate your enthusiasm, even though I don't agree with you.
He's a man of passion.
Yes, he is.
And Teresa, you used to be in the smart boat, too, but then you started giggling at Danny's jokes.
I like Danny. What
do you think? That'd be really bad to have somebody on the show people thought were funny.
And then you know what else really pisses me off? It's every single thing. It's always every single thing was, or used to be, always about Gretchen. Oh, me and my wife, Gretchen. Oh, God, I don't care if you're right, Gretchen, man. Just shut up about Gretchen. I could care less about
John.
Gretchen.
John. I got to say something. John, please don't ever turn on me. I would kill myself if you went after me.
Me too.
And
John,
Yes, I couldn't handle this.
John, you have
first
mental
off,
problems.
A word of warning. I'm only going to take another 10 or 15 minutes of this.
And then we're
hang up on your
ass. Do you think
we
can hold on during the break?
Every single morning.
Well, John, hold on a second. Hold on. Leave Danny alone for 1 second. What do you do in the aerospace industry?
I design fuel valves and regulator valves for Boeing, for Lockheed Martin, for the space shuttle, 747, the new A380.
We have valves on all of them.
O-rings and stuff like that, O-rings?
Yeah, for Morton Thiokol. Hey, listen.
That's kind of interesting. What blew up the shuttle? Oh, what? One of those rings. That was weird.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
Poindexter? Look. We're talking to an everyman. Obviously, your IQ is way too high for this show.
Well, but see, it used to be okay because you used to make great analogies, and then Danny just jumps in. He's all, oh yeah, you know, it's sort of like, you know the name.
All right.
There's room for more than one point of view.
Taylor Hicks, by the way, is on the phone. Taylor from the Soul Patrol. Hey, Taylor.
Yo.
Yay.
How you doing?
Good. Good to talk to you.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good.
God, I remember when me and my wife, Gretchen, used to sit around and listen to you.
Say hello to Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
How's it going, everyone?
Hey, guys.
Good.
Guy.
Hey, Taylor. First off, big fan.
Thank you, man.
I think most of America is because, take this in the spirit in which it's intended. Taylor Hicks, out of all the winning contestants in American Idol, may not have been the most blessed in terms of having the pipes. And I mean, you have good pipes, but you don't have touch by the hand of God pipes. You have style. You have attitude. You have your own flavor. You have whatever the kids are calling it. And you won based on that, which I think is really neat.
Well, I definitely think you have to have that. You have to be unique. And the more unique you are, the better off you are.
I completely concur. So you have a new book coming out?
Yeah, it's called Heartful of Soul. It's basically just all the road stories I've had over the years trying to make it in the business, and you know, some stories of, you know, the idol stories, and it's just it was a good read. It's a good read, and I figured that people would want to hear my side of the story.
Well, do you get a glimpse behind the curtain of how American Idol works?
Well, there's some behind the scenes stuff. You know, the night that we won, behind the scenes stuff, and you know, a lot of it's about me, and you know, the road, and you know, I wasn't. You're right, exactly what you said. You know, I wasn't the best looking, and I wasn't the best singer, but I beat the odds.
Yeah,
and that's what's in the book.
Well, it is an interesting thing. I think in show business they call it it. Which right. is, you are greater than the sum of your parts. You're a good dancer, not a great dancer. You're a good singer, not a great singer. You're a good whatever, not a great whatever. But together, somehow, it becomes great.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the uniqueness aspect of it. You know, you have to be unique. And, you know, finding that voice and finding that uniqueness took 10 years of work. And it's apparent in the book.
Well, what, now for you, you won, obviously, the year before last. It's been, 14 months or whatever since your victory?
Yeah.
And then you immediately hit the road with the American Idol Tour?
Yep, record an album. Then February of this year, I went on a 3-month tour, and I'm about right now at about 120 shows over the country since February.
You know what I was thinking of, and Danny, you'll probably concur with this. In show business, you're always worried about sort of here today, gone tomorrow, or where you're going to get your next gig. You could be on a successful sitcom 1 month and then next year be completely out of work and waiting over Nobu, as Danny will tell you. But if you have the title, if you have the title of I Won American Idol, it's sort of like having the title of ex-heavyweight champion, which is there'll always be a gig for you at some level. You may not be selling out arenas, you may not have platinum records, but you will always, for the rest of your life, be the winner of American Idol, and that will always provide money. That will always provide employment. That there's a certain level that you won't sink beneath because you're the winner of American Idol. That's got to be nice to have in your hip pocket.
Yeah, and I knew that. You know, with all the odds defying me, I knew that I had to win, you know, to stay. I know how hard it is to stay in the business.
Sure.
'Cause I tried to get into it, and it's just as hard to stay in it as it is to try to get into it.
Right.
So, you know, with that in mind, when you have an opportunity like that, you got to make the best of it.
Well, I think you did. And what are you doing right now? I don't mean this second, but I mean touring.
When you were asking me this second, I was putting cheese grits in my mouth.
Cheese grits?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm down in the South, so I'm staring at some eggs and stuff. So
you're.
I'm in Atlanta. I just had grits for breakfast. I
would really?
That. Yeah.
Why is it always about you, Dan?
Well, you know, they're not like my wife Gretchen used to be.
So are you in Birmingham?
I'm in Birmingham, yeah. Doing book signings right now, and I'll be in March, Louisiana tomorrow, and Goshen, Indiana. I'm touring, you know. I'm in a bus touring music, but then I got off the tour to tour the book.
Mm-hmm.
How's the book doing, Heart Full of Soul?
It's really good. It's doing really well. It came out last Tuesday, and I think it's right now it's at 20 on the Amazon memoirs list, and things are going well. You know, there's a lot of good things that you could take out of the book. A lot of it is, you know, my family allowing me to have the dream, but also the way they implied being practical as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you have a backup plan, a plan B? Did you have another career?
No, had no idea.
Mm-hmm. So you
know, I thought about, you know, working at the bank or doing something, but you know, just you never know. I just knew I had it, and I had to go for it.
Mm. Now, I read Sanjaya's book, Heart Full of Hair, but you are the first American Idol that's ever come up with a book, right?
I think Fantasia wrote a book.
Really?
And Clay Aiken, yeah.
Fantasia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she wrote a book.
And Clay Aiken wrote a book. I did not know that. Well, the point is you're the first American Idol that wrote a book that somebody heard of, because I never heard of Fantasia's book or what's his name, Clay Aiken's book. That's Clay Aiken. I bet you'd like to kick his ass, wouldn't you, Taylor Hicks?
I'm pleading the fifth there.
All right. Taylor, we'll let you get back to your grits and collard greens. Taylor Hicks.
Thank you very much.
Heart Full of Soul. Come see us when you're in town, please.
I will. Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care of yourself.
Bye.
Yes. Look, I don't want to get all sappy on everyone's ass, but even if you're not interested in singing and or not interested in American Idol, there's still things you can glean from people that are successful, because the same rules apply whatever field you're in. Kyle over here, it's his last day on a smaller scale, came out here, basically bought himself a one-way bus ticket from Sacramento a few years back, maybe only a year or so.
And he came here with nothing.
And he came out here
and
nothing,
and
nothing but a bong and 70 pounds of facial hair.
He just, all he knew was he loved Adam Carolla and he wanted to be in show business. He was in construction and he showed up here.
He came up here, he worked hard, he worked for free, and I guess his first break came when I shot my movie and he volunteered to be my assistant. Although I paid him at the end of the month, he never asked for money and never wanted any compensation. He worked for free, that's the key. He was willing to work for free in order to get a payday. Well, then he worked here, and he answered the phones, and then he took a little part-time work over at Kimmel's, and obviously he impressed somebody over at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and now he's been asked to come aboard full-time. Now, does he run the show? No. Is he make a ton of money? No. He went from guy who got off the bus from Sacramento as a construction worker 1 year ago to full-time employment with a network late-night TV show in 1 year. So it's not like, well, he's 37 now. No, he's 20, and now he's 21. He's not arrived at his destination yet. There's no guarantees that he ever will. But he's moving along at a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
One thing I think to be gleaned is that why not just be excellent at whatever task you're given, even if it seems crappy?
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call screener.
That is a very, very good lesson. Okay, Bonaducci is over there in Hotlanta. He's got himself a comedy gig tonight. We are out here in L.A. We got the news coming up. Also, Adam Sandler coming up. Def Frat Guy coming up. Joel McHale coming up. Oswaldo coming up. The little Nicaraguan Name That Tune. Still to go on the Adam Carolla Show. T.
Yes.
T's the news, baby doll.
We're going to talk some Emmy snubs and surprises. And also, Isaiah Washington congratulated T.R. Knight. Very sincere.
Hold on a second. Very quickly. Bill?
Yeah?
You say, don't mess with Danny, man?
That's right. You know, I got to tell you, Adam and Teresa, you guys are awesome. I love the show. I've listened to it since day one. But, Danny, you add a little salt and pepper that we all need out here. Because you talk about Gretchen and Isabella and Dante makes you a little closer to us. But I will tell you this, bud. I heard about your little problem in Maui. And
yeah.
I'm also a recovering alcoholic, okay?
Yeah.
If you drink and lose that job and screw up my morning commute, I'm going to kick your ass.
I love Bill.
Thank you,
you know what's
Bill.
Funny? Let me tell you something, Bill, because the girl that was with me, Amy, is here in Georgia with me in Atlanta, so she can't hear the show. So let me just say right now, it was that bitch's fault, or I'd have been fine.
Hey, I blame...
All right, don't get preachy, Bill. I just wanted the compliment, not the preach. Jimmy?
Thanks, man.
Jimmy?
Yep. Yes, sir.
How say you?
Well, I'm saying I think your show's... I listened to Stern for years. You know, my brothers switched over to Sirius, and they bought me one and offered the free, you know, subscription. But I prefer your show. And I was hesitant when Danny joined, but, I mean, he adds the right amount of red spice to it. And
yes.
I met Teresa.
Paprika pubes, we call them.
Yeah, that's paprika pubes. Exactly. And... you guys riff off each other. I mean, I write down stuff, some like one of Danny's quips or Teresa's quick comebacks. You guys, and it's, you know, it's not the same drill.
Whole year on a cocktail napkin, same one.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah. You know, but it's fabulous. You
say
guys,
something nice about Teresa real quick, otherwise she'll start
man,
eating.
She's hot. She was almost taller than me. She had them go-go boots on over at a Home Depot, and I got the
wow. Yeah.
I was going to put some weight on because she's a chubby chaser. You know.
Sure.
I like all kinds, Jimmy.
Oh. Okay, all right.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You betcha.
She likes him fat and smart, though, not fat and dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you got to put on a couple IQ points, too. All right, well, thank you.
He's adorable.
No, Jimmy, good times. He wearing those steel-toe go-go boots over at the Home Depot.
I had a glamorous personal appearance over there.
What is in the news coming up? Did you pitch that already?
Emmy, snubs, and Paula Abdul has another really good meltdown on her show.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee definitely walks the tightrope of staying true to his ideas and believing in himself, but also listening to and learning from criticism. His remarkable artistry and intelligence are truly a wonder to behold. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla. Yes! Yes!
Unbelievable winning streak.
Yes! That is 89 straight weeks. Yes, and in your face, Teresa Strasser, Danny Bonaducci,
really,
and
from
Gay Bria Borda Bill, in your face. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Goddamn.
Jeez.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm a competitor.
Well, you're on a roll today.
I'm not going to apologize to anybody about being a competitor. I'm in it to win it. You know, a second place is just first last place, guys.
Give me a
whatever that T-shirt
well
says.
Said.
Believe you me, no fear, baby. And you know what? You know what? This time next week, it'll be 90 straight weeks I win Employee of the Week. So in your face.
I'm crawling up your back, Carolla. You wait.
And let me tell you something. I'm not satisfied to rest on my laurels and win Employee of the Week in my radio show. I'm going after Mark and Brian. I'm going after Jeff and Kim or whoever else is out there. I'm going after all your asses. Look out! Ace Carolla is going to be Employee of the Week at your radio station. He doesn't even work there. In your face.
Wow.
Your face.
Gracious winner, man.
That's right. Scars heal, losing doesn't.
The more you know.
The more
this
you
is
know.
So much Pop Warner in your face, I can't hear it.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. My spelling's not that good, but is there an I in team?
I don't know. I didn't recognize that statement because I don't hear losers. Is a loser laughing? I see her mouth open. I don't hear anything coming out.
Hilarious.
That's right. I'm a warrior. Goddamn warrior.
An iron warrior.
To the news, man.
Teresa Strasser.
Second placer.
Tomorrow's news. Today.
First runner-up.
Nominees for the 59th Annual Primetime Emmy Awards were announced yesterday. Not surprisingly, The Sopranos cleaned up with 15 nominations, more than any other series. There were a few notable snubs. Most people yesterday were talking about 24 because it won the Emmy for Outstanding Drama Series last year. Didn't even get a nomination this year.
I know this sounds naive, but is this all just voted on by the Academy? And then how does it work? How is there that big a shift in 1 year that they don't vote even into the final or
question.
Top five that show that won it the year before?
Here's how the voting works. There's the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, and the everyone in the Academy votes on nominations, and then just people in that peer group, writers, performers, sound editors, vote on the actual winners. And I think the reason there was such a big shift on 24 is because the season sucks.
The thing that's weird about being a member of the Academy, and I'm sure you guys all know this too, every once in a while you get something in the mail that's like, hey, there's an election.
Yeah.
And normally when there's an election, it's this politician against this politician. And in this case, Ed Begley Jr.'s running against Melissa Sue Gilbert. And you go, hey, the guy from St. Elsewhere's running up against the chick from Little House on the Prairie?
Not exactly Mitt Romney.
It's weird voting for people that you remember watching when you were a kid on television.
Now, here's another odd thing about this year's nominations. Have you guys seen this Justin Timberlake dick in a box thing?
Yes.
This thing got a nomination in the original music and lyrics category. Yeah, it's Justin Timberlake and Andy Samberg. It was a sensation on YouTube.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
It was an SNL sketch.
It was an SNL sketch, that's right.
Right.
Isaiah Washington was on Grey's Anatomy, which got a nomination in the drama category. Mm-hmm. And as everyone in the free world knows, he had an incident with the actor T.R. Knight.
I rented Black's Anatomy, by the way, over the weekend.
How was that?
Intimidating, I've got to be honest with you.
Now, T.R. Knight was nominated as Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series, and Isaiah Washington, well, he felt the need to congratulate him on Access Hollywood. Now, you guys tell me how you feel about his level of sincerity congratulating T.R. Knight.
T.R. Knight has been a wonderful actor from day one. T.R. Knight, congratulations. He finally got the attention he deserved.
Yeah.
Oh!
Well, here's the thing.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Right.
As an actor, you're paid to sound sincere.
So he sucks then, isn't
he? He obviously wasn't on the clock for that statement.
Now, you tell me if he was on the clock for this statement. He says he didn't. Now, you have to submit for an Emmy, and he says he didn't submit any of his work because the Emmys, well, he just doesn't care for them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about not submitting because I was afraid of the backlash. I didn't want the pain of being nominated and losing. I didn't have a good time at the last Emmys. It was, the stress was hot. You know, my wife and I had the biggest argument because of the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, too stressful.
Yeah, it was a year ago that he sort of grabbed the mic and yelled, I didn't call him the F word.
At the Golden Globes, yeah.
Oh, it was at the Golden Globes,
yeah,
right.
He's now playing the drunk card on that and saying he was drunk on champagne.
You know, my argument would be I'm nailing an Asian broad in the show. You know
Sandra,
what I mean?
Sandra Oh.
Yeah. How racist can I be?
Really? Huh. Exactly. That's an interracial couple if ever there was one.
There you go.
But they're fictional.
Yeah, but you know how people are. You're on a sitcom, or you're on a soap opera, and you're the evil Dr. Rex Dexler, you'll get hate mail all day long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it follows you home.
Sure.
Right.
Right. People actually probably think he is a doctor.
Sure.
But the one I really enjoy is where you finally got the attention you deserve. Now, if you had to change the word deserve to crave, you rotten bastard,
right,
then you've got what he really meant. You finally got the attention you crave, you rotten bastard.
I cannot enjoy that show anymore ever since T.R. Knight did the thing with the eyebrows and the hair coloring.
You think he changed his appearance too much?
He dyed his hair and he plucked his eyebrows from season one to season two, and that's not the thing an intern, a 26-year-old straight intern at a hospital in Seattle would do, but it is what a gay actor would do in between a successful season going on to the second successful season.
Hold
it pumped
on.
Me.
Are you telling me that interns don't look like Katherine Heigl? What is next? Because now I'm not going to be able to watch that show either. Hey Paula was on last night, and she really, I know this is going to be surprising, but she has a meltdown.
No.
Yeah. Let me just briefly set it up. She's on her way to do Letterman, and there's a snowstorm, and she can't get two members of her team out. One of them is Billy. Billy writes for her and prepares her for her big appearances. And then one is her hairdresser, Daniel, and she can't get them out in time, and here she is freaking out on her staff.
I'll guarantee a ticket for Billy. I'll work on it until he comes.
That's not the issue.
The issue is I need him more than I need Daniel. How about that? I'd rather have someone from JCPenney. I'd be willing to let them do my hair and makeup over the fact that I can't stand the fact that there's nobody directing me. I need somebody. I am as vulnerable as vulnerable can be. And this is no offense to anybody here. I love you guys. But I need help.
I'm not sure the exact role this Billy plays in her life, but he's doing a god-awful job if he's writing for her. Because it's like, hey, so then if Letterman asks you what it's like to work with Simon Cowell, you say, and then when he replies to that, you then reply with a snappy retort.
Well, he told her to emphasize.
Oh,
yeah.
And then fall asleep.
He told her to emphasize. Yeah. Funnier that way.
It is. Yeah. That's true. Because when you stay, when you hit the first syllable of and it's not quite as funny as punching it at the end where you go
I think we have to go to break. There's going to be more news later.
All right, and later meaning in 4.5 minutes when we come back from break. We have Adam Sandler, who's due to be calling in this show any moment now. Danny Bonaducci out in Hotlanta. He has himself a show tonight, and we'll be back come Monday, maybe earlier. I don't know. We'll take a quick break, back with the rest of the news, and Adam Sandler next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents the Blowhard of the Week.
I can't believe what I'm reading right now. I really scratch my head and I wonder, where's God when you need him? Because this does not make any sense.
Even though there's suffering all across the world, and your bank account is larger than most third world countries, you have the nerve to ask, where's God? Paula Abdul, you are the Adam Carolla Show's Blowhard of the Week.
I don't know a lot about how the Lord works, but I assume it goes something like this. He's over there in Darfur. Somebody's having a burning tire put around them. He's trying to intervene, and then Paula sends up the bat signal. She's got some clamp-on costume jewelry earrings to move on the QVC, and he's like, I'm out of here.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Tire Guy.
Sorry, the sales are not going as planned on the QVC for Paula and her fake shield size, garbage can lid size, fake clamp-on earrings. Who buys the crappy... Look, the people that buy real jewelry are idiots. The people that buy the fake jewelry that uses a clamp to hold it on, that's bad. Clamps are for woodworking and to hold umbrellas on the beach chairs. Thank you, the more you know. Bonaducci is over in Hotlanta. He's got a gig tonight. He's coming to us via John FM.
Dave.
Radio station Dave. Teresa Strasser has the rest of the news and Adam Sandler coming up on the Adam Carolla Show. T, mop it up, baby.
Here's a reason why you should be very nice to your assistant if you're wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Take note. There was a billionaire here in California, Henry T. Nicholas III, of Laguna Hills.
Doesn't sound like a rich guy.
It doesn't at all. Mm-hmm. Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington. Yes.
And he had an assistant who's suing him. And what happens when you file a lawsuit is that there is a discovery process and all the news comes out. And your assistant is privy to some very, very private information.
Is this the guy with the sex dungeon?
Yes.
Oh, I love him. He's my hero. Why? Because he took my two favorite pastimes and he combined them, like that Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah, two great tastes.
He took subterranean building and prostitution.
Right.
Pow.
Well, he
put them together.
He has the trifecta because he can bind drugs. Also.
Ooh, well, there's three.
Now, this is a story out of the Los Angeles Times. Here's what happened. It actually didn't end up being a dungeon. That was his original idea. And he was a member of the construction team that was working on his house. Mm-hmm. Says that he asked them to design a room to, quote, indulge his manic obsession with prostitutes and addiction to cocaine and ecstasy. They didn't end up
building
it. Hello,
my name is Graham Wellington.
Graham Wellington, yeah.
Half a gram of Wellington.
He didn't end up building. Oh, I'm not allowed to giggle at Danny's jokes anymore.
You're going to listen to that geek.
They didn't end up building the room in his house, but did build him a prostitution and drug room in an off-site warehouse that this mm-hmm. billionaire owns nearby, and used this room in the warehouse as a personal brothel until his wife caught him there with a prostitute. Mm-hmm. Now, the assistant is telling all of this. And apparently, he's trying to show that there's a history of lying and illegal activity from this billionaire. He says that one of his duties was to monitor Henry, the billionaire's coke supply, and to handle the payment to the prostitutes. Mm-hmm. Now, the billionaire is saying this is all untrue.
Yeah, why didn't the guy just try to extort money out of the billionaire?
He did, and the billionaire said, why don't you sue me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if all this stuff comes out. I'd rather that than you bribe me.
A billionaire fella can't blow off a little steam with a couple of kilos of blow and a few hookers in his own adult rumpus room? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not hearing the report of any hookers getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
these
like
are consensual crimes done. They say a man's dungeon is his castle.
No, they say all good castles have a dungeon.
That's what they say.
And, you know, a man's home is his castle. What would it be without a dungeon?
That's right.
It'd be a house.
Look, you live in the Midwest, you have a basement, right?
Right.
You live
right.
in a castle, you have a dungeon. That's all. It's just a basement and a big old house.
Well, in the world of entertainment, it's a very big day for both books and movies. As you guys might have heard, the seventh installment of the Harry Potter series comes out tonight at midnight. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. We're sending our own black guy, Tony, to mm-hmm. cover that exciting event tonight. And J.K. Rowling has just posted a message on her official website saying, within hours, you will know what happens to Harry, Ron, I can never say name. Hermione? Mm-hmm. Hermione? And the rest of their final adventure, all the secrets I've been carrying around for so long will be yours too. And those who guessed correctly will be vindicated, and those who guessed wrongly will not,
wow.
I hope, be too disappointed.
That sounds awesome.
Look, unless she kills him off, this can't be the last one. I mean, it always leaves the window open for another one, right?
Well, they're saying that there are many deaths in this one. Something like six characters die, mm-hmm. I've read. So.
Yeah, but the entire premise of the book is there's a dead guy after Harry Potter from the very beginning. So death means nothing.
Yeah.
The fact that he kills all these people doesn't mean they're not coming back. I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but these books are about wizards and witches. They don't die, they come back.
Yeah, how do you kill a wizard?
It's very difficult. So we'll see what happens.
You didn't need to answer.
It was rhetorical?
Yes.
Also, opening this weekend at the box office, is two big movies, Hairspray with John Travolta, and I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry with Adam Sandler, who's going to be on our show momentarily. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
Well, Joel McHale is coming up. He's brought his clips. Def Frat Guy is coming up. He's wearing his new Cougar Crossing t-shirt. And the aforementioned Adam Sandler will be on the Adam Carolla Show next.
In theaters today, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Mr. Levine, do you know where you are?
Am I in a Motley Crue video? Because you're hot.
Honey, how's my buddy doing?
Honey, Mr. Levine, please address me as doctor.
Dr. Honey. Yeah, okay, you got it.
Adam Sandler.
Every time I laughed at one of your jokes, I was faking it.
He's on the Adam Carolla Show.
Bonaducci is in Atlanta. Adam Sandler is in, I'm guessing, Beverly Hills, perhaps Malibu, yes?
Yes.
Adam? Oh, I didn't punch him up. Hey, Adam.
I'm not in Malibu. I don't do that anymore. I'm in New York City.
Ah.
Probably, you know, I'm in a room. I can't say where. It's Midtown. I won't give the exact address, but Donald Trump's making money off me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know the room is decorated in a very tasteful manner if it has to do with Trump. It couldn't be garish. Hey,
absolutely. It's the mints. Here, by the way, are the best mints, as they say, in New York City.
Well, they have gold lame on them. Of course, they're delicious. Adam Sandler, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. I saw Adam over at Kimmel, I believe, a week ago.
I'd say about 4 or 5 days. Yeah, a week ago.
And always such a gracious guy. Let me tell you what I told my wife when I got home, Adam Sandler.
Give it to me.
I said, I forget that the comedy community is sort of a small community, and people sort of know who other people are. Yeah. And I watch the TV, I see the commercials, I see the movies, and I say, wow, Adam Sandler, big star. And then when I see Adam Sandler, and Adam Sandler says, hey, Adam Carolla, good to see you, I think to myself, how do you know my name? And I'm always flattered.
That's so funny, because me and you know each other a long time.
I know, it's just I have such low self-esteem, and I watch you on too many commercials on TV, and I just assume you couldn't possibly know me because you're on TV.
That's hilarious. Well, I have a similar thing. I have a similar thing with other comedians where I'm like psyched to see him, but I'm waiting. I have 5% of my brain going, go say something wrong. I'm looking forward to punching you.
Adam Sandler, was it surreal back in the day when people first started to know who you were before you knew who they were?
That, well, I used to be on MTV, like, when I was 18, and, I was totally the guy walking down the street going, please recognize me. I think I was like that till I was, like, 25 or something. I was like, just God, tell me I'm good.
Kimmel. I was like that till I was 47, walked down the street. Come on, remember me? You know me.
Yeah, I've seen him. You see him going down Sunset carrying a huge bass guitar. hey, Sandler,
yeah.
Something reminded me of how long we've known each other, at least have been in contact with each other, which is Jimmy pointed out that at the fight where Jimmy fought Michael, the maintenance man, when we were over on K-Rock, when I met Jimmy, when I was a boxing trainer, that Sandler, along with John Wayne Bobbitt and Pat O'Brien, were the celebrity judges of that match.
That's right.
And it totally escaped me. So in a certain way, I knew Adam Sandler, or at least met Adam Sandler, before I even got into show business.
That's right, man. That was like that was a huge day, too, because I had my comedy albums back then, and that was like, you got to get on K-Rock. You got to do this. They asked you to judge. I'm so excited to do that. You know how quickly I'd say no right now to that.
Oh, my God. You wouldn't even say no. Your publicist would wipe his ass with the request and send it back. It must be nice. And, Adam, let me say this.
You know, possibly, Adam, in 2 years, I'm back to doing it. And you never know. You never know what's going
to
happen.
From your mouth to God's ears. Because I figured out that cosmically there's only room for one Adam to be successful, and I think you guys can do the math on that.
You're the smarter one. You're the cooler one. You have you're smoother than me. It could have been you. It should have been you, but I went to Temple more. So.
Yeah, or at least once, which would have been 100% more than me.
Yeah.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. I've been watching the commercials and laughing. I saw the trailer, and I laughed.
Right.
And I don't laugh at every single Adam Sandler commercial of every single Adam Sandler movie that's come out, but this one looks funny.
It's solid. It's solid. There's no problems here. The beginning of the movie, my guys and Kevin guys are a little rough, a little stupid, so they do hit some stuff that will make if you're gay you'd be tense, but eventually that stuff gets get straightened out. But, yeah, there's a lot of comedy. Kevin's funny as hell. You like Kevin, I bet.
Yeah, I do like Kevin, and we spoke to him earlier in the week, and he said the way you guys do the movie is you shoot it off the script, and you have a couple of writers who are listening nearby, and
right.
you modify, and you sort of change things on the fly, and then you do some improv takes as well.
Yeah. Same stuff that every comedian does. But we wrote, it was a good script when we first got it. They wrote a pretty good thing, pretty funny script. And then I had Herlihy and Smigel and Swartzen and Colbert, and all of us worked on it. And Kevin James threw a few jokes in there. Very few. Not as many as I wanted. But he's a great dude.
Well, you know, my plan... And I've not done much to really further it, but it's always been to suck up to Adam Sandler and become one of his cronies.
Yeah.
No, you're too smart for that. You're too good. Yeah, I like it. Like Kevin James is, I think, on my brain, like SAT score kind of thing, was similar. You're too. I don't need you.
Yeah, but I need you.
No, I'm telling you, eventually, you will have a steady life. I know I'm 40 now. I'm guessing by at least 45, maybe 50, if something bad is going to happen, and I will handle it terribly.
Well, listen, you know, that's where I might come in handy. I was pretty much washed up at 14, and I can tell you what to prepare for.
Danny, you're an icon. You mean so much to the world. Whereas, you know, I mean, you weren't getting bad reviews when you were a kid, were you?
Not at all. I was getting excellent reviews. But the problem with being an icon is try and feed your family with it.
Plus, Danny don't want to be an icon. He wants to be a Yukon.
Yeah.
He wants to be Adam Sandler, not Danny Bonaduce.
I want to U-Haul my money to the bank.
I find it very compelling, though, that Adam Sandler, with all your success, there's still a piece of you that thinks it's all going to go away.
I think so. It has to. I've seen the others go through it. I mean, they come back sometimes. Maybe I'll get a comeback. So I'm guessing 5 to 10 years it's done. And then at 58, some new young comedian makes me. I'll play his dad or something. That'll be great again.
Well, the thing is
you're not kidding. You're really thinking this out. Aren't you?
It's here today, gone. You know, tomorrow. And then what Sandler's going to have to do at age, 45 or 50 is figure out how to live off of $250 million for the next 35 years.
You know what? Steal those mints.
Steal the mints. Start stockpiling top ramen and garbanzo beans. Head over to the Smart and Final and really load up.
My father, when I was on Saturday Night Live, I was spending money. I was so excited to be making money. And my father was, he was a normal guy. And he would be like, listen, you've got to relax. You know, you can spend money, but my advice to you is get a mill in the bank. Put a mill in the bank. Then you can start being the moron you want to be. And so, I did all my road gigs, and I was just, for a couple of years, going nuts with the amount of work I was doing. And then I put the mill in the bank, and I said, Dad, I got the mill. He's like, 2 mil. So I'm going.
No trips to Smart and Final. Besides, if I'm reading you right, you feel that you can only get into Final. That Smart and Final's just a little out of range.
Very true, Danny. Yeah. No, I've been to them all.
Well, it is interesting, as I was
Marshalls
just...
is a good one.
Oh, yeah. Get yourself some seconds on Levi's there. It's like, you can buy a pair of Levi's, but they have 3 legs.
And only one pocket.
Adam Sandler's on the phone. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. If philosophically, it is interesting, this business we're in, where no matter how well you're doing and how far on top you are, even if you're Adam Sandler, there's still a little part in the back of your brain thinking they could take it all away tomorrow, today and gone tomorrow, and all that. And if you're a school teacher, I don't think you ever think that. In many other professions, you think, I hope it all ends tomorrow so I can retire. Show business is one of those things where no matter how successful you are, you always feel somebody nipping at your heels and always feel like somebody's going to take it away from you.
I guess, I mean, I don't really do, honestly, I don't spend that much time thinking about it. I'm pretty pretty cool with what I've got to do so far. But it's, you know, I'm like used to it now. I get to like write a movie and get it made, and I have no questions. They just support whatever the hell I say. And you know, I guess that's what I'm when all the, because I do see huge guys from who I grew up with have being told by you know, like a 25-year-old executive what he's doing wrong now. So I'm like, that's the part I'm not looking forward to.
Right. Yeah, those guys are cocky.
Go dig young up, and cocky, and they're chewing gum.
Go dig up Marlon Brando and tell him he's fired.
Exactly.
That's what I'd do. It'd be my first move as a 25-year-old movie exec. Well, speaking of movies, Sandler, I have a movie.
Yeah, what is it? What do you mean?
It's an independent movie that I did. And I just keep thinking, Adam Sandler could really do something for this movie.
What is it? You shot it already?
I shot it. It's in the can.
I saw it. I went to the premiere of it. It's wonderful.
What is it? What's it called?
It's called The Hammer. It's a boxing movie, and it got great reviews. And I just keep thinking, Adam Sandler's going to love this movie and possibly rub his wonderful stink on it and do something with it. So I'd love to get it to you and have you watch it sometime.
That'd be great. Thank you. Yeah,
I'm sure you're related.
I'm absolutely, Corolla. I know you're awesome.
All right,
I'd love to see it.
Well, I'll tell you what. If when we go to a break, give somebody a number or a name or somebody, and I'll make sure.
Send
it
over
to
Happy Madison, and I'm coming back to Tarrant in a couple of days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that. Hey, Adam Sandler, thank you for being on the show.
Hey, you guys, I appreciate it. I'm congratulations on everything. That's pretty cool. You got this spot, huh, buddy?
Yeah. No, I dig it. It's not for everybody, but if you have something to say, radio's the place to say it.
Yep.
Do you have any other albums coming out? Any comedy albums, anything like that?
No, I haven't done that in a while. Those things, like, every time I did one, it would take me, like, 6 months, and I, you know, now that I got the kid, and I don't think it's going to go over.
No more Hanukkah songs? That's such a service to our people.
I'll get to that. Yeah, I mean, if I, that's funny. I'll come up with something sometime. I think it's probably the next album's coming when the movie career is going down. That's probably better. Okay.
And I think you guys should all know, Sandler included, although not a Jew, sort of an honorary Jew and often mistaken for a Jew. Although the entire time I swung a hammer in the San Fernando Valley, I was never mistaken for a Jew. As soon as I told my first joke, it's like, hey, Jew boy, tell another joke.
I thought for sure you were going Bonaducci, man.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go.
Adam, thanks for being on the show, and I'll send you that movie.
Okay, lady, yeah, you're looking forward to The Hammer.
Please.
Thanks, man.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, name of the movie. Sandler's such a nice guy.
I like him.
Yeah.
And as I was saying after talking to him over at Kimmel, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not be nice? That has come up. I've thought about that a few times since you said it.
And why not when you have the world by the tail and you make tons of money and everyone likes you? And why not be nice just to form other people's opinions of you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I kind of like that he fears, while he's got probably what's going to come out as the number one movie in the nation,
he fears
the end is near. I love that.
Me too.
Me too.
Because, and that's the way I live my life, because I'm always right. The end is always near, and I just somehow survive it. So it's, you know, it's nice to see a guy at the top planning for, well, when a 25-year-old exec kicks me out of his office, because that day sucks.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of the people. And you'd have to go back and look at your movies from the 80s and 90s, but there's many a star. I mean, those sort of Andrew McCarthy's of the world or whoever, they become sort of footnotes now or sort of punchlines now.
Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, these guys were A-list whoever's and now have gone beyond not working, really, sort of punchlines and jokes.
Yeah, even some of his SNL peers, I would guess, that he came up with are not working.
Sure. Hey, we need to take ourselves a break. Bonaducci over there in Atlanta.
Either doing comedy or paying alimony, depending on how you'd like to look at it.
Yeah. He's making a buck over there in Atlanta doing some comedy tonight. And I would say both. Def Frat Guy coming in studio next. I think he's got an axe to grind with us, so we'll bring him in next. Then Joel McHale from The Soup, all still coming up on the Adam Carolla Show. Turn David. Whose T-shirt was I looking at? Yes, yeah. He's wearing a L.A. Avengers T-shirt, and I thought, Avengers, not a great name for a team. It suggests that the team you're playing kicked the crap out of you last time you guys met, and now you must avenge.
Right, you're avenging a loss. That means you're a loser.
Right, and if you're the Avengers, you're perpetually avenging losses, which means you do nothing but lose. Not that they do, not that we don't support them. Just thought it should have been thought out a little better.
Have you noticed Def Frat Guy's T-shirt? Speaking of T-shirts,
Def Frat Guy is wearing his Cougar Crossing T-shirt.
Really good.
Bonaducci is in Atlanta, by the way. Def Frat Guy in studio now. This whole Cougar thing has turned into a phenomenon over the last few months. But I would suggest that it is our own Def Frat Guy that kicked the whole thing off. Yes,
I'm proud to announce that we are in the midst, the high point of the cougar migration period.
Oh,
summer
really?
Migration.
Where are the cougars now?
They're south.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're going south for the summer from
Orange County area?
Well, the prime areas really are Redondo, Hermosa, Manhattan Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the weather cools, they'll migrate northward up to
Los Feliz.
Venice.
They don't go that far east.
To Santa Monica.
Wow.
Sometimes even as far as Malibu.
Oh, really? So in my opinion or experience, if you follow the migration of the humpback whale, the aptly named humpback whale, it's generally the same arc.
Hell yeah.
Now, the Def Frat Guy, the T-shirt, just to describe it, you have like the freeway yellow triangle crossing sign with an actual cougar, and it's trying to cross, and I believe you're selling these.
Yeah, on deffratguy.com, and it makes a great look. If you get it now, you can like avoid the lines for Christmas shopping.
Right, everyone wants a cougar crossing shirt.
But this lets you know that you're down with cougars, and it's a great accompaniment to go with the cougar hunting license.
Oh, you're selling a cougar hunting license.
Have you bagged any cougars this cougar season?
Oh, no.
I've had a really hard summer, bro.
What's going on? I guess we struck a nerve there.
I want to because I just got back from camp, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, hold on. That camp was the camp you go to every year for the hearing impaired?
Yeah, he did.
No, it's for a lot of different disabilities. Yeah.
Well, they open it up to all disabilities.
It has always been that way.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the progeria kids?
Yeah, that's the kids that kind of look like Yoda. They have the premature aging disease. They're 8, but they look like they're 80. And you said last time you were on the show that there was a problem with them scoring beer for some of the other kids.
Apparently someone ratted on us.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, look, the thing is, I was busy at the summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
I left, as I always do.
Mm-hmm.
To get ready for the next year of college.
Mm-hmm.
But the other night, Moose received a phone call that was truly shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It was from a really good kid at camp named Bobby Canning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have the call.
Okay. You recorded the call with Moose and Bobby Canning?
Moose, this is right from Moose's answering machine.
Oh, okay. Okay, here we go.
Wednesday, 4:46 a.m.
Moose, what's up, bro? Bobby Canning from the camp, from the progeria bunk. Dude, you told me to call you if I had any problems with those Puerto Rican kids from across the lake, and guess what? It's going down, dude, and we need you and Maverick back there. It's like they've been launching bottle rockets, sparklers, M80s. We try to do the potato guns, but like we're either too small or whatever. But we can't get them. We can't get the firepower across the lake, and we're like, it's getting bad, dude. I think some crap or whatever is gonna go down, and dude, whether it's the Puerto Ricans or the progeria, someone's gonna get seriously hurt. You know, if I was back in Boston, I mean, I'd call my bros, but I'm surrounded by a bunch of wrinkled half retards in this frickin' progeria bunk, and I think we're gonna get our asses whooped, dude. So It's Bobby Canning from Boston. I'm always wearing the big Red Sox shirt, Pats jersey, you know, Bruins, big Boston dude. We need your help, bro. So call me back. I'm at area code 617-434.
All right, well, let's pot that down. This sounded like an 8-year-old Mark Wahlberg on the line.
Yeah.
So that guy has a disease where he's 9, but he looks like he's in his 70s.
They kind of look like they're covered in scrotum. Is really the way they look, is the best way I think to describe it.
Dr. Bonaducci, paging Dr. Bonaducci.
Now, why are the Pateria kids at war with the Puerto Rican kids?
The Puerto Rican kids said something. They were calling them, I don't know what the Spanish word, but they were calling them raisins.
Oh, no.
That's unkind.
What were the Puerto Rican kids doing at camp? I mean, that's not really a disability, is it? You don't get the good parking spaces just because you're Puerto Rican.
No, they are from a camp across the lake.
Oh, I see.
It celebrates Puerto Rican heritage.
I understand.
And we've always had problems with them.
I see. So there's sort of a rival going on.
Yeah.
All right, so this call came at 4:30-something a.m.?
And then he called back to clarify something.
Okay, let's hear
Wednesday,
that.
Wednesday, 4:47 a.m.
Bro, I didn't want to sound like a puss on the last call. I mean, I'm from, you know, rough time at Boston. I can take care of myself. And I was at my house. I swear to frickin' Christ, I'd crack a f***ing beer bottle over there. That frickin' Puerto Rican pineapple head. But dude, I'm just asking you to do me a solid, like I did when I bought you guys beer. All right, late.
So he scored beer for you.
Because he looks old.
Yeah.
But the thing about Bobby Canning, I know he could handle this himself. He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu.
Uh-huh, so he's got the belt.
And he's a tough little guy, but he may be outnumbered here.
Right.
Because if those Puerto Ricans decide to take a boat over, there could be some real trouble.
Right.
And what I'm trying to do now is, I don't know if I should get mixed up in this to bring back Moose and all the guys to go medieval on this guy's asses.
Well, you should do something because, I mean, as you said, if the Puerto Ricans decide to take a boat over, in fact, most of them already have.
Yeah.
So they've got practice at this.
Yeah, they're experienced yachtsmen, those Puerto Ricans. Yeah. I've said it many times.
Many times.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Maverick's told me many times never to draw a potato gun in anger.
Oh. Yeah.
Because he doesn't shoot to wound, he shoots to kill.
Yeah.
And if you go over there with your potato guns ablazing with Moose and Woody and the rest of the gang over there, or Moose and who are the other guys over there? This guy looks like Poochie. The guy looks like Derek Jeter, but 5'3". You guys go over there and start drawing those potato guns. There could be trouble.
I think we need to take this out. Revenge. Like pizza is a dish best served cold.
That's very true. And I would like to take this opportunity because I know there's been some mixed messages between Def Rat Guy and myself. Def Rat Guy, if you decide to go up to the camp and back the scrotum kids, I want you to know I will go with you and back you and Moose. And
hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Hell
yeah.
Put all that stuff behind us.
And bro, I wanted to give you a shout out. Thank you, Danny, for putting in a good word for me to give me the phone screener job.
No problem, buddy.
I don't think he did.
Yeah,
I don't want to hang Danny out here, but
I didn't know you were interested in this.
You said the job was mine to lose.
No, I don't know who said that. Angie didn't say that, did she? We're going through the process of replacing Kyle right now on the phones. We're going through the process where we interview lots of different people, but your name has never come up as far as I know, and I don't remember Danny bringing it up either.
Yeah, I mean, we love you, but, I mean, it seems like you're not really that well-suited for answering phones.
He has a TDI device.
Right.
The voice recognition whatever thing? Yeah.
That's true.
Just let me say the fact that I don't remember doing it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, Mav, we're big fans, but I just don't think this is the gig for you.
Well, then, dude, you better... can you at least help us out? Get a truck full of potatoes to go to that camp?
No.
Because we are going to go ape... Can I say ape crap on these Puerto Ricans?
You've shortened Puerto Rican to Rican?
They've messed with the... They've been screwing with us.
Uh-huh.
Since I was a kid at the camp, before I even became a counselor, and I really am fed up now.
I know, with Maverick, the kids look up to you.
There's only so much you can take.
But maybe you should try and make peace with the Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, I don't want some kind of West Side Story type gangland musical thing to break out up there on that hill.
You're a jet, you're a jet all the way.
From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
Yeah. Gang. The whole deal with the camp is the kids go there to forget, to get away from the city. You know, not to do do battle with, russet potatoes, but just to canoe and relax and convene with nature.
They launched, you heard Bobby Canning, they were launching M-80s at them.
All right. Well, listen, you do what you got to do, and if you need Bonaducci as backup, well, you have my blessing.
An M-80 could blow the liver spots right off one of them little Yoda kids.
Well, an eye for an eye and a spud for a spud. You know, when does it end?
Hell yeah.
Send your potatoes to the station.
That's a good idea.
Just put a stamp on it.
That's a fine idea. All right, Def Rat Guy, we can go to defratguy.com to get a Cougar Crossing t-shirt.
And I also have some other t-shirts. Some of the old ones are coming back in style. But these, already people say they're a big hit.
And we can get the Cougar hunting license as well?
Those would be available next week.
I see. All right,
and Def Rat Guy. Pay for the little problem we're having.
All right. Well, you head up to Mount Pinos and you hunt yourself some Ricans. We are going to continue with our radio show. Joel McHale, Dreamboat Joel McHale. He's hot and he knows it.
He just pulled his shirt up.
He's coming in next on the Adam Carolla Show.
From this E! News story,
TV talk.
We got a butt-naked hole running around this house.
From E's the Soup, Joel McHale.
What? Oh, my God!
Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Joel McHale from the Soup on E! Danny.
Danny's tiny.
Danny is not here. He's in Atlanta and not on E!, at least today. Hey, Danny.
Nice.
Wait, sorry, I forgot to hit my microphone.
Ah, good times. All right, so Danny in Atlanta, Joel McHale from The Soup on E! In studio, Mark the Poet in Seattle. Mark?
Good morning, Ace. How are you?
I'm doing well. Mark, I see you've been on hold for half an hour, so let's make this quick.
God bless you. Adam, you're a master builder like one Hiram Abiff. You're ranting while we're drinking IE coffee, token of spliff. Teresa's a treasure trove, her V, the final battle. Heating up issues like a stove, love Strasser's news in Seattle. Buongiorno, Bonaducci, healing up your liver. Hardcore comeback kit makes even Delta Force quiver. Plenty worth the money, and I say it not in jest. Word on the street is Brian drops the brief. Adam Carolla's show is still the best.
Well, thank you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask questions? Is this Mark the Poet, the guy from MySpace?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're one of my friends.
I am, and I'm grateful to be your friend, Bonaducci.
Strike
two. You're wearing like a purple dress.
Word to Mark the Poet.
All right, Mark.
I feel like Danny's in an iron lung.
Good
and
time.
This is how the show will be in about 4 years.
Thank you, Mark the Poet.
Joel,
thank you, Joel, for thinking the show will be here in 4 years.
No, you're welcome, buddy.
Joel McHale from The Soup. He's brought his clips as per usual. What's your first one, Joel?
Well, it's from Extra. And you remember Family Vacation with Chevy Chase and Christy Brinkley.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a hotter person in the world
than Chevy Chase?
No, Christy Brinkley.
Christy Brinkley is not only or was not only hot, but remains hot.
Yeah.
Well, not after you hear her sing.
Oh. Don't have to be rich to be my girl. I just want your extra touch and your, kiss.
Yeah.
You love Prince. I know that, Adam.
I'm a huge Prince fan because he's such a huge fan of himself.
Well, he's a genius, right?
He's a genius.
He's a genius. You know, he played all those instruments.
Right.
Yeah.
So if Christy Brinkley, most attractive woman in the world, came at you singing like that, would you still be attracted to her?
I would grab some cotton, stuff the cotton into my ears, and then stuff something else into Christy Brinkley.
Okay. Well said, Carolla.
Thank you.
Wow, this next clip,
the way I roll,
is
stuffing.
Oh,
they call me Stovetop.
I'm sweating.
In high school,
they did.
Yeah, because I was great at stuffing.
I thought you were good at football.
And stuffing.
Women?
Giblets.
Don't you stuff footballs?
It's a good
point.
Is that
like a move?
Yeah. I think you stuff a basketball. But yeah. Look, Christy Brinkley.
I've been living in Corolla's world. I used to work for TLC. Doing home makeovers half-assedly.
Yeah,
that was me. Death. Now I'm the new news girl.
Wow.
I've
this
been
is
living
embarrassing.
In my rye bread world.
I didn't think that Christy Brinkley could be top.
She could be top.
What's worse, that or waterboarding?
I got to say this. This is truly humiliating for Teresa Strasser because she's deeply in love with Joel McHale.
Why are you in front of Joel, Brian? Why? Joel's here.
That's better. That's better.
Christy Brinkley is a blonde who's held up very nicely.
Yes.
You don't normally see that.
That's true.
The darker the skin, the, you know, women of color, these people who are a little more swarthy in their appearance seem to look better into their 50s. Mm-hmm. Most of blondes just completely come undone.
Yeah, you know who kind of hit the wall was Cheryl Teagues.
Cheryl Teagues hit it a little. Farrah Fawcett. All the hot blondes from the
Heather
70s
Thomas
and 80s.
From The Fall Guy?
Right. A lot of folks hit the wall. She looks the same as she did when she was in the Ferrari 308.
Take Jacqueline Smith, who looks amazing, and then put her next to Farrah.
Mm. Who hit the wall with her face.
Good times. Any other people suffering from cancer you can make fun of, T, or you're just going to move ahead?
No.
How about Tammy Faye? She's dying.
Yeah.
Say something about her.
I know. The minute that came out of my mouth, I thought
Yul Brynner died of cancer. Anything you want to say about him?
He's bald.
All right. Let's keep pushing on. And by the way, Tammy Faye was all over the news. And Larry King. And first off, I've never watched Larry King and thought this, but Larry, looking good.
That's why he booked her.
I've never put those words to Larry King's face, but yes, looking good,
despite
Larry.
The fact that, as you mentioned, Larry actually died 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
as a new Christian and trying to work that way myself, I don't understand one thing. Why would Tammy Faye be afraid of dying? Why is it excellent news?
No, I agree. It's bad.
It's like a fighter pilot who, you know, the first time they go up, it's exciting and scary, but they know how to operate it.
Mm-hmm. You mean when she goes to heaven?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
I know, she's 65 pounds now. Did you see that?
Yes.
Wow.
She looks really ill.
Better.
Poor thing.
All right. What's going on there, Joel?
All right. And her lungs, ironically, still look better than Danny's.
yes, she does have lung cancer, but I don't believe she was a smoker.
See?
Here's Regis, I think, either on his show or at a rave.
Mm-hmm.
New news girl, I've been
Do you like that? I like it like that. Do you like that? I like it like that. Do you want it like that? I like it like that.
If you had half that energy in the morning, Adam...
I know. He's always working out. He's always talking about his wife. He never stops working. I mean, he drives me nuts, that guy.
We're still talking about Regis, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a hummingbird heart.
Sorry, Dan.
It's like an enormous hummingbird heart.
It sort of became a little cathartic there for a second.
I am wife working out.
I am talking about Regis. And he is funny, and you have trouble hating the guy, but I hate him anyway.
I can't. He's worked too long and too hard. I love Regis.
He was one of those people that I became aware of him probably in high school. I didn't realize he had been on the air for 90 years before that.
He was releasing records on wax, like in the turn of the century.
Right.
He was, a singer back when guys who didn't know how to sing could still release albums.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has. He's probably released, 80 albums or something.
Really?
I don't know.
The old days of Carson and, like, actors who didn't do anything, you didn't just go to the couch. You sang a song or something, whether you did or not.
Yeah, like Mike Douglas and guys like that. Yeah. There are a whole bunch of guys that couldn't sing, and you knew they couldn't sing because they would talk the song.
I should have done that with New News Girl.
Right.
I don't think it would have mattered with your song, Teresa.
If I talked it out, that might have been better.
An excellent Music Monday, by the way. Mm. I was discussing that with someone about Music Mondays and people where they sing lyrics, like right in the middle of the song, and actually singing and then start talking. Right. I hate that.
Hey, Brian, did you find out?
He's been recording music since 1968. He did It's Time for Regis! Exclamation point.
Sure.
Look at album names back
then. How true was that?
All right.
Okay.
It's time for McHale.
On Good Morning America, Daniel Baldwin has just come out of rehab for cocaine abuse, and he, I'm just going to say, he's changed. He's got a lot of humility now.
I guarantee you right now that if I decided to get my real estate license, I'd make $1 million a year in my first year. Take home. I'm just that good at what I do. I could go to law school tomorrow and get a law degree. I guarantee you I could. Just like I'm not super professionally trained as an actor, but I'm a better actor than 90% of the people that do it for a living. I guarantee you that.
Coffee's for closers only.
What happened with the Baldwins? When they were children, were they all just kept in some sort of chamber and somebody just blew hard into it all day long? They collectively are the strongest blowhard family on the planet.
What about Billy, though? We don't really know.
Billy's the non-blowhard Baldwin.
And that's why he doesn't have a raspy voice.
Right.
Right, but he's also,
hold on.
What?
You know, does Mikhail say anything that doesn't injure me in some way?
I'm sorry, Danny.
I know, Danny's not here.
If I were so goddamn good at what I do, if I didn't make, at 5'6", if I didn't make men of your height and stature quiver in my presence, if I wasn't that damn good at what I do, I'd be hurt.
Hold on, if you had a real estate license, could you make $1 million net?
I could make $1 million just by showing that I possessed someone else's real estate license.
I've got a keeping it real estate license.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry, Danny. Just because you're not here, I feel like I can threaten you more.
Good call.
Yeah, I mean, Alec Baldwin, super talented blowhard. Daniel Baldwin, Stephen Baldwin. Oh, good Christ.
Now, is he the religious Baldwin now?
Yes.
Because he used to be, what a drag. Now he's the religious Baldwin. He used to be the ugly Baldwin.
You have taken, and by the way, with Stephen Baldwin, you have taken the... It's like the greatest assassin on the planet. It's like you took a guy who's a third degree black belt in Taekwondo and mixed him in with a Navy SEAL and then combined him with a marksman.
Wow.
I mean, he not only is he a Baldwin, but he's a born again Baldwin. He's right. A supernova of blowhard.
He's a super Baldwin. He's the only one that's ascended.
That's right. That's right.
Has he been in here?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, one of...
Did you get a word in?
No.
Nope.
No, you can't talk. And one of the funny things is when I did Stern once a while ago when I was in New York, I asked Gary Delabate, the programmer or the producer, I said, I talked to him a couple days before I came out to New York. I said, who else is on the show? He said, Stephen Baldwin. I said, oh, good Christ. I said, when's he, what's the schedule like? He's like, well, Baldwin comes in from 7 to 8, then Baldwin splits, and then you come in from 8 to 10. And I said, good, because make sure that guy's long gone by the time I get there, because he is such a colossal blowhard, I can't get a word in edgewise. And he said, yeah, no problemo. And then I showed up in New York, and I sat down, and I said, I didn't hear the show. How's Baldwin doing? How was that blowhard? And I said, he hasn't arrived yet. Hold on, wait a minute, he's here right now. Come on in, Steven. Sit down next to Adam. Hey, Adam, why don't you tell me what you told Steven? Tell Steven what you told me over the phone a couple days ago about him being a blowhard.
It was a setup.
How'd he take it?
He took it like a Baldwin.
He didn't hear a word you said.
No, because
and
he
went into a monologue.
He knows he's a blowhard.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a problem with that.
But don't,
he's a Christian. He has no choice but to forgive you. It's his whole job.
He had to turn the other cheek.
But Daniel just got out of coke rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just was like, well, let's, all right, sure. I had a big deal. But. I could make all that.
If I had my fishing license, if I got my fishing license tomorrow, I'd catch a 300-pound grouper. And I got it myself.
Balls.
And I would sell the fillets to the Japanese because it's a delicacy there and make $1 million. And that's net. That's not gross. Okay?
What if you had a stockbroker's license?
If I had a stockbroker's license or a hunting license...
What about one of those truck driver licenses?
Or a marriage license. If I had a marriage license, I'd marry 10,000 women tomorrow, and I would satisfy them all sexually.
Will Chamberlain would be a wuss.
And they would all have 15 orgasms, and that's net. That's not gross, even though it is kind of gross.
It's real gross, yeah.
Okay. And if I had a Class 3 truck driving license, I would transport plutonium, uncrated, through schoolyards. With special needs children.
How much plutonium?
a metric ton, son, I could tell you, but I don't think you could handle it. Okay? And that metric ton, that's net. That's not gross. You hear me?
Okay.
And I would speed through a school zone going 500 miles an hour, and I wouldn't spill a drop. You hear me?
Wow.
You understand me?
Yeah. I mean, it's impressive. It just seems like you just got out of rehab, though.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had an actual problem.
If I had artistic license,
yeah,
I would make a painting the size of Montana. I'm that good an impressionist. You understand?
Wait, the painting would be the size of the state?
It would be of Montana, the size of Montana. I would physically paint Montana with a roller.
What if you had a driver's license?
Nay, a Q-tip. Do you understand? Every crack, every mountain, every bird of prey, every insect, every person in Montana.
And at no point you'd be tempted to...
Flora and fauna. And that's net, not gross.
Right.
Okay?
But not the Native Americans if you want to paint them red.
I would paint them. I would paint the entire state.
It's very impressive for someone just out of rehab.
Yeah, he's very confident.
Dude, he's out of rehab for blow, though. You can get real physical.
That's right.
You can do stuff fast.
I've had my contractor's license.
Oh, wait.
You know what I do?
What?
Build a skyscraper to the moon.
Wow.
It's impossible.
With a basement. You understand? For subterranean parking.
That went to China.
I would have a designated parking space for my mouth.
Are you better than 90% of the other contractors?
90%? Is there something higher than 100%? Because that's what I would be better. And then when I say 100%, that's net. So it's not gross.
You're doing a bunch of coke at the same time.
I would, if I was a contractor, I would build a mountain of coke to the moon. I would climb it every morning.
What if you got your teaching license?
If it's a teaching license, you know that commercial where Coke taught the world to sing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would teach the world to speak Japanese in one afternoon.
The whole world?
Wow.
The entire planet.
It's a difficult language.
I would teach another language, the most difficult of all languages. I would teach them in one sitting, all right?
It's way more accomplished than your brother Alex.
I would do it between, he's a blowhard. He's a has-been.
Well, he's got
nominated
for an Emmy.
Nominated for an Emmy, but I guess he did not teach the world Japanese.
I would teach them in the time between nutrition and lunch. It's about an hour and a half, okay? And when I say hour and a half, that's net, not gross.
But you are addicted to Coke, no?
Mm-hmm. If I had a license, I'd force you to stop asking retarded questions.
Yeah, all right.
If you had a license to carry a gun?
If I had a license to carry a concealed weapon, I would shoot you in the head, Joe McHale, for asking these retarded questions.
How many bullets would go into my head?
Three, and that's net. It's not gross. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. How about a tease, Joel?
Oh, yes. Here it is.
Where's God when you need him? Because this does not make any sense.
That's coming back.
I think we heard a snippet of that in the news today, thanks to Teresa Strasser.
The fruition of that will be.
We'll be back with Joel McHale from The Soup. Danny's over in Hotlanta. We have some Hey Paula. We got some Rock of Love and Beckham and many, many more great clips to play next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This is The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 8 on ESPN2. Don't watch the PAC World Championships. Full coverage of the Professional Arm Wrestling Championships at 9 on Sleuth. Be sure to miss Burning Zone, Arms of Fire. During a game, a basketball player spontaneously combusts. And at 11 on Hallmark, definitely don't watch Walker, Texas Ranger. Walker investigates a roadhouse owned by a ruthless crime boss, played by special guest star Frank Stallone. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
There's a part of me that feels like shows like Walker, Texas Ranger don't actually exist.
I've never seen a whole episode of you.
I don't think anyone has. I don't think Chuck Norris has seen an entire episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. How do these shows stay on for 13 years?
And they made Chuck Norris enough money to buy a fleet of helicopters.
Or at least a total gym.
With Christy Brinkley.
Speaking of the total gym, Bonaducci. in Atlanta.
Yes, I am.
Good to speak to you. Danny's over there, obviously, doing a little stand-up gig tonight.
Might as well inform all our affiliates. Now that I have settled on terms of alimony and child support, I will be doing comedy every goddamn weekend till I die.
That's got to be nice for the audience.
Yeah, right there. That's how I open.
Please don't go Lenny Bruce and start reading, like, divorce transcripts and getting angry.
Now I'm just going to say, come on, fit the two-drink minimum, they go to my kids.
Let me ask you guys a hypothetical question. You're an audience at a comedy club. You get A. Bonaducci up there to work off his debt to his ex-wife and the attorneys and all that, the bitter divorcee, right. Or B, the Richard Pryor who owes an S-load of money to the IRS. You know what I mean? The comedian, the black comedian that got screwed over and got paid in cash too much. Right. So he's only there because he owes the IRS versus only there because he owes his attorney and hateful ex-wife.
How far along is Pryor's Parkinson's?
He's a little past death.
And how tall is the box that Danny's standing on?
Oh.
Joel.
Hey, praise it, Joel McHale.
You killed me right now. He would take a swing. I'm sorry, Danny. He would take a swing at me, and I got to say, your fist would shatter on my hip bone.
Yeah, but if you turn...
Better than my jaw.
That was another short joke.
If you turn 90 degrees, it would shatter on your bone, and then you'd be in trouble.
That's true. I'd be terribly aroused during that fight.
Speaking of aroused, we were talking during the break. I was asking Joel if Paula Abdul's show was a boon for the soup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's so rich in clips.
It was like finding a vein in an old...
junkie.
I was going to say gold mine, but, but I think you're right.
No, the mother load of clips was found.
Yes, it was.
In Hey Paula.
And we might as well just put the soup logo in the corner of the show and run it. I love how Paula Abdul probably thought at the beginning of this, she will finally be vindicated.
That's right.
She's not drunk or crazy. She could just
people
see her.
Could just see my real life. They would see how reasonable I was.
She's just a girl.
All right, so you saw the, or we played you the clip of Where's God When You Need Him?
Mm-hmm.
Here is why she was asking that question.
I've been asked to executive produce, choreograph, design the clothing, and dolls for the Bratz movie. What am I supposed to do? This is not fair. I can't go with it.
You know you like that.
Hey, guys, please, I'm trying to tell a goddamn story.
Asking by the God, way, and then
I don't want to correct.
Goddamn,
I don't want to correct Paula, but Bratz, not a movie, a film.
You are
okay?
Right.
Do you understand the difference?
Did it air before or after your film at Tribeca?
Bratz?
Yeah.
I don't think it's been released. It's going to be at Cannes, probably.
Yes, Bratz.
The perfect place for it.
So Paula was asked.
She was asked and then denied executive producer, costume designer, choreographer on the
Joel,
Bratz.
Please, I'm very confused.
On an animated movie.
But what's going on with Paula? I mean, does she see a cut of these episodes? Is this all part? Is this like a bit? I'm confused. I really am confused.
If she sees cuts of these episodes and thinks, yes, that's the real me, thank God they're not showing the embarrassing stuff.
Right. Yeah. Then, first, you wonder what is on the editing room floor.
Oh, my Lord.
If she left that in.
And
she must be spectacular.
She has that thing that all crazy women have, which is they start turning their dogs into young infants, and they speak to them like they're their kids.
Yes.
And they're the size. They're actually smaller than infants, but there's four of them, and they break into that voice, and they give them little names like Sushi, Hitishi, Kiki, Mommy wants to whatever. And every single person around her is on the payroll. Either she's feeding them literally like the dog, or she's giving them money so they can feed themselves.
And the food they can buy themselves is not as good as what the dogs are getting.
Yes. Yes.
And the dogs are treated better on airplanes and limos and all those things than any 90% of the children in the world.
And everyone around them is either a publicist, a hairdresser, a designer, a stylist. There's no friends. Everyone's on the payroll, and friends keep you in check. Friends from the old neighborhood. It sounds like a cliche. You need those guys from the old neighborhood who are saying you're high or you're making an ass of yourself or where are you going dressed like that or are you insane? And when you're on when you're getting paid, you just don't.
Right.
Now, they consider everyone friends, but they're the kind of friends that would never say a disparaging thing about you because you're paying them.
Right.
No, this is what kept Jennifer Lopez safe and grounded as being Jenny from the block.
That's right.
That's why she never said anything about 3,500 thread count, which I still don't know what that means.
Well, it's,
I think she's talking about a sheet.
Net or gross?
That's right.
All right. Well, we obviously have many more episodes of Hey Paula.
Thank God.
Together. But Bret Michaels is taking sloppy seconds from Flava Flav with his own show, Rock of Love. Gonorrhea of Love's I think it will be called by the end of the show. Here is his bouncer laying down the ground rules to the Skanks.
We want you to have fun, but there are a few guidelines you must follow during your stay. One, no one enters Brett's room unannounced. Two, please don't touch the guitars. And three, please don't puke in the jacuzzi.
It rubs the lotion on its skin.
Nice.
I don't like it when vomit and semen mix.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And you're on a show called The Soup?
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. Wow. I'm trying to think. As far as...
don't do that, you'll wreck it.
We were talking about... I know I was on a roll, and now I had to wreck it by thinking. As far as... We're talking about Paula Abdul's editor and what hits the floor over there in that editing room. Yeah. Imagine the difference in gigs. The poor schlub that has to hack together Paula Abdul's rambling nonsense, or the guy that has to cut out all the boobies, ass, and...
Right.
And graphic sex scenes from The Rock of Love. You know what I mean? They have cameras everywhere in the joint, right?
Yeah,
Bret Michaels is nailing everything that walks through the front door.
Right.
He's probably nailing a sound guy and a camera guy, too, just out of reflex. You're in the editing room bay. Aren't you just looking at hardcore pornography the entire time?
Yeah.
Isn't your job just to stare at, essentially, a bootleg rock and roller sex video and then cut it up in such a way where you put a little story, but you cut out a lot of the naughty stuff?
I think you would feel somewhat ashamed if you were that editor, but entertained. But in the Paula version, you would feel like finally the public is seeing my hell that I go through every day.
By the way, guitar is code for wiener. Don't touch his guitar until he asks.
And he's in full eyeliner at all times. I wish you would do that, Adam.
Mm.
You came in here just for the bandana around every shot you were in.
I wear blush. But I don't normally have the time to do my eyes before I come out in the morning.
You don't wear toner at all?
I know. It's amazing. Well, I didn't want to get into it, but I have what they call combination skin with an oily T-zone.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
dry
I have
on the cheeks.
I have this little dry on the cheeks, so I'll put a little blush on there.
He's gay!
I got to say this. In how long I've known you, I never thought you had a dry zone like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've taken really good care of it.
T-zone is a little dry.
The T-zone? You talking about Teresa now?
Either that or the world's worst sports bar. The dry T-zone.
You guys going to the T-zone tonight? They got wings.
Yeah, no beer, no Pepsi, no nothing. Just wings.
Yep.
Popcorn
powder
wings.
And wings.
All right.
Victoria Beckham has her own show.
Mm.
And
is that true? I thought they whittled it down to one episode.
Yeah, they aired a special.
Yeah.
It was going to be a series on NBC.
What happened?
They only had enough for
it
the 1 hour.
Sucked.
Oh. But it did very well in the ratings.
Okay. Don't take my bagels, bitch.
She's been in North America here for 15 minutes, and I can't stand her already. I feel like she just showed up at my dinner party and I want her to leave.
I watched her special and I toggled between despising her and then kind of liking her.
She's kind of witty. Did you see that? Did you see the special?
Everyone from Britain sounds kind of witty.
Yeah.
See, if you're from New Jersey, you're a retard. And if you have that British accent, then you sound kind of witty.
That's true.
Let's hear it.
This is her talking to Oscar nominee Carol O'Connor, some older woman. I can't remember what movie it is. But,
Carol Channing?
No, it's O'Connor.
Oh, she's one of the
Carol
socialites
Connor.
At the socialite
yes,
party.
Yes, at this party. So here's what they do at these parties.
That's funny, huh?
Somebody's raping a dolphin.
It's
what it sounds like.
What is that? It's her. This is Carol's dolphin impression. I'm not joking.
It's a parlor trick. They're all sitting around having champagne and
they do whatever
welcoming
else does.
Her to the neighborhood, and she says, "I can do this dolphin impression," and that's what she does.
Someone ought to break something off in her blowhole.
Well, I think she should keep that impression just in case Tyra Banks comes around, because she's terrified of dolphins.
You want to put the cotton in your ears again, girl.
Right.
And then shut her the hell up.
Break something off in her blowhole. Well, I would argue it's a horrible impression. On the other hand, I knew she was doing a dolphin without knowing she was doing a dolphin.
There you go.
So how bad can it be?
Can you do it? No, I can't.
Let's hear it again. Let's hear it again, Brian.
No, I got it. It sounds like a car starting, too.
That's fantastic. It won't turn over.
Yeah.
She played Flipper's girlfriend for many years. in the 60s.
She's good. That's what she could. Yeah. All right. There's a special, or it's a miniseries, I think, on BBC America called Love Me, Love My Doll.
About little kids with their dolls?
No, it's about grown men who buy those $5,000 to $10,000 plastic, totally anatomically correct life-size dolls,
and they
have relationships with them, and they are. It's actually a very fascinating special because these people are disturbed.
If I ran into one of those guys, it would be one of those frying pan fire conversations. Like the guy'd be like, "I collect dolls," and I'd be like, "Ugh, oh no, real dolls that I have sex with." Oh. Be like, I didn't think we could go lower than my first grunt, because I already had you at what I thought was the bottom of the human being barrel. Like, I have my can we hang list that I have with every human being I come into contact with, and you tell me you collect porcelain dolls, we can't hang. You tell me you have sex with dolls made of rubber, and we really got a problem.
Now, what if he said, "And I'm a huge Prince fan."
Oh no!
So the three.
Here are the three odds. So you play the guy collects the dolls. Go ahead, Mikhail.
So I collect dolls. But not porcelain dolls. I have sex with enormous, lifelike, totally correct plastic dolls.
Oh.
And I play Purple Rain during sex. Because I love Prince. Around the World in the Day. When he was just Paisley Park.
This is what it sounds like when the host dies.
Yes. All right, so we have the doll
That's
collecting
cool.
guys.
Adam, if he had gone to Gitmo.
These guys have relationships with their dolls.
Yes, some guys have 10 of them, which they choose from. This guy has one. He lives at home with his parents. And
shocker.
And this is I should bring in more of these next week, but this is just a little tip of the iceberg here for you.
I think the thing my father finds really difficult about my relationship with Shichan is the fact that she's not alive.
Sure. Close-minded.
Why are they so judgmental?
Yeah. Sometimes you get burned on a technicality. You know, you hope that your son
right.
has a... Hey, Dad, you said relationship and you said heterosexual. You said nothing about a pulse. You said nothing about her having to be alive.
No matter, it beats an actual dead girl.
Yeah, it's
a step up.
I would argue it's almost a lateral move.
Yeah.
From corpse.
Yeah.
No, because one won't decay on you.
No matter what conversation his father has with any other father... If another father's like, yeah, my son's wife, she left him because she's addicted to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bad. How about your son?
I get down on my knees and pray that my kid starts chasing the dragon. You understand how lucky you are? What, you got a four-leaf clover up your ass? You're the luckiest dad in the world. Now, here's how the conversation would go if I was a dad. What is this guy's name? Do we know the...
I don't know, but he is...
Let's just call him Ricky.
All right.
I haven't seen you in a while.
You're
haven't
Ricky's
seen me
dad.
In a while. I'm Ricky's dad. You just ask how Ricky's doing. Hello?
Phil?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Chip.
Hey, Chip.
How you doing?
Good.
I haven't seen you down at the gym lately.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Hey, what's Ricky up to?
Hey, gay.
Wait. Wait, what?
Gay, I gotta go.
Because that's funny.
He's gay.
Really?
Because he's gay. Tell him.
Well, I was going to say he was walking by.
He performed oral on your son, Brian. Now I got to go. This has been a wonderful reenactment.
All right, good talking to you, Phil.
Gay. Spread the word. See you at the gym. Probably down there now looking at nude guys.
Okay. That was maybe some of the more disturbed people in the world.
Hold on.
Phil, are you still there?
Yeah. Gay. Just want to clarify. Hello?
Hey, Phil, it's Chip again.
Yeah. I hung up. Listen, I want to clarify something. Gay with live human beings. Not dolls.
Well, would assume that, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
But I swear
not dolls made of acrylic.
Because
gay
my son...
with flesh and blood.
My son...
Live men. Many, many live men.
Brian was...
Pull the train right now.
he ran into Ricky buying...
I'll say he ran into him. He's gay. He's like an old man. I'm gay, too.
Buying lip gloss at the Mac counter.
I'll tell you one thing us gay guys would never do. We'd never have sex with silicone doll. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about my whole family.
Yeah,
gay. Everyone in the family. Check the tree.
Because Brian...
Pink tree with Miata roots. Super gay. No one in the family's ever been straight for 1,000 years. Go back to my great-grandfather gay. Everyone's gay.
I can't even ask him the question.
I'll tell you the thing about my family. Family crest.
Yeah.
Family crest is a smart cocktail.
And a rainbow.
And a rainbow, and one of those triangles is upside down, and then there's a picture of an inflatable doll that you have sex with, and a slash going through it, because we never do that.
Hey, Phil, this is a friend. I just want to ask you a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
If your whole family tree is gay,
mm-hmm.
back to your great-great-great-great-great grandfather.
Everyone gay. Everyone gay.
How'd there get to be more of you?
They had artificial insemination back then.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Sorry. That was my grandfather. He got on. He's got emphysema. But anyway, back to what you were.
Yeah. Sounds gay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Tell the world. Spread the news.
All right. I'm just going to tell Brian that he was wrong when he walked by your window the mm-hmm. other night and mm-hmm. saw Ricky face deep in a plastic doll.
That was, Ottoman. I lost some change into it. Told him to get out of his teeth. You got to stay sharp as a gay man.
Wow. Right, I'll see you at the gym, buddy.
Yes, you will. And I'll be looking at you, too.
Because you're gay.
Yes.
Even though you're married to a woman.
Beard.
And
that's right.
And your son lives with you.
He's gay.
Oh, there's enormous human-sized crates in your driveway.
Chip, honey, your chair's getting cold.
We use that to shift the chaps. Load of chaps that came in last weekend. As a matter of fact, UPS guy's here. We got another load of chaps coming in.
Please try your call again later.
Can you give us the phone with Phil? We have to take a break.
I forced the UPS guy to drive a brown Miata. The world's gayest car.
Wow.
What
can Brown do for you?
We know. That's what I've asked him many times.
All right, you've clearly stated your argument that you and your family are gay.
Son's gay. I'm gay. Everyone's gay.
But on the crates it says fragile human-sized doll.
That's right. Right, because too many syllables and chaps.
Oh.
The guys can't stencil it on the side of the crate.
Human-sized dolls.
How did you think the New York dolls traveled?
That's right. All right, we need to take a gay break.
In fact, never play this again.
All right, there is one more clip, but I understand if you didn't, but it will be the three dumbest people you've ever heard in your life.
Oh, really?
Yes, the dumbest people.
I think we heard that.
What show?
It's a little show called Bad Girls.
We need to take ourselves a break. Joel McHale is here. Hey, is Ozzy here? Oh, he's not here. Oh, we don't need him for... Well, Joel, why don't you hang around?
All right.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll play the clip of the world's... The three dumbest people?
Yeah.
All right. And when we come back, we got some tickets to give away to Bob Weir and Rat Dog, the Grateful Dead guys. We're going to do a little... they're at the Greek, by the way, Saturday the 28th. We're going to do a little Name That Tune, a little Nicaraguan Name That Tune, Grateful Dead style. So 866-901-ADAM, call up if you're a deadhead. We'll get you those tickets, but you got to guess the song with Ozzy singing and Joel McHale next. Gene in Hotlanta.
going to be performing tonight. Joel, as promised, just to finish up a little soup droppage.
Yes.
Do we have those three of the
dumbest
people on the planet?
Dumbest people on the planet. This is, there's one that's so dumb she doesn't say anything, so you only hear two, but she's listening the whole time intently. This, just, you got to hear what they're saying, and you're going to love it because it's got a little World War II in it
as
well.
From the show Bad Girls.
From the show Bad Girls.
This is Pearl Harbor Memorial Bridge. That's where they got the name of that movie from.
Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
It was a day.
It was what?
It was an actual day that happened.
Oh, really?
It was, yeah, a war.
I didn't even watch it.
She missed the war.
When was it on?
December 7th.
Well, okay. Usually they'll plan a war for sweeps.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sure. November or February.
Yeah, you don't do a war over the summer. No one's, everyone's on vacation.
It's
no one's rerun. Watching.
Old wars.
It go, I mean, just to cut, go from, wait, Pearl Harbor Bridge, was that name for that movie? No, it was a day.
Yeah, I caught that part.
And then it was a war. I didn't watch it. Which, well, we don't even know if she's talking about the movie or the war.
Chicks know nothing about war. They say they do, but they don't, because it's all the stuff guys love and all the stuff chicks hate. But you have a certain duty to know something about it.
Yes.
Just because the reason you can be free to live in this country and be a complete imbecile is because brave men died in that war.
Yeah. As the men perished in Pearl Harbor, do you think their last thought was, I hope to God that there will be a channel someday that will air these women in a reality show wondering if a bridge was named after the movie?
I know they did, Joel.
Let's play some games.
I know. All right,
that's it.
The great Oswaldo had laid down a few Grateful Dead songs. You call up. Well, we have a full bank of calls. People want to go to the show. We got a little intro, and then we'll play the game.
Is Oswaldo, Nicaragua name, Tactoon. The Grateful Dead.
What I said.
You can win ticket to see Mod Wear and Rat Dog.
So, you get it right, you're going. We have four pair of tickets to give away. Is it the Greek that
yeah.
they're going to be in? Great place to see a gig. John?
Hey there.
Big Deadhead?
I am a Big Deadhead.
Fantabulous. You ready to play the game?
Ready like Freddy.
Here we go.
Drive a train high in cocaine.
That would be Casey Jones.
Si, es bueno.
Casey Jones, you better.
People used to sing a lot about cocaine.
Yeah.
Now we just quietly do it. But back then, we sung about it. We glorified it through the majesty of song.
I love the musical Cocaine.
It's
yeah.
coming, isn't it?
It's an hour and a half.
Lloyd Webber, right?
It's an hour and a half and takes 8 minutes to watch.
Hey, John.
Yo.
We'll see you at the Greek.
Hey, Adam. This feels like my birthday. First, I win Grateful Dead, well, Bob Weir tickets, and I find out that Kyle is leaving the show.
Ah, do you want to be a phone screener?
You know what? I don't really want to be a phone screener, but I've had about a billion calls. That would have been great that I put through. But
Kyle didn't put you through.
No, it's malo.
Yeah, he's like a big, hairy, stoned, lazy liver. Takes a while for things to pass through him, and he has a very fine filter.
Yeah, keeping out the toxins.
You know what?
Kimmel looks for that.
I heard a rumor that obviously he's filled the assistant janitor position over at Kimmel, and I heard a rumor that he's an assistant to the assistant janitor. And Danny, would you be able to take that position and have Joel take that?
I don't understand. What is an angry deadhead? I've never heard of such a thing.
Hey, man, when I'm done putting together these hemp sandals, I'm going to open a can of whoop-ass on you, dude.
I'm going to throw a hacky sack so hard at your face.
Oh, when my tie is dried,
And died.
And died. You're going to die just like my tie. I put the die in tie.
When this bag of Funyuns is empty, I'm going to empty your skull of teeth.
Dude, once I get my head together, I'm coming after you.
Once I'm done freaking out.
Stop yelling at me.
Dude, the nitrous makes your voice sound so deep.
Dude, I'm going to fire up my Vespa that runs off of Goodwill, and I'm going to come over. I'm gonna come over to your kibbutz, and I'm going to open a can of whoop-ass on you.
When I take a shower a month from now, and I finish oiling my dreads...
When I'm done painting rainbows on that microvan, as soon as the paint dries on that unicorn I just painted on the microvan, I'm going to tear you a new a-hole.
Once I use the Visine, get some water back in my mouth.
It didn't work.
Let's play some games.
All right.
Cotton mouth. That was weird.
Let's go.
The Visine, come on.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
Big Deadhead fan?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Sounds like he's driving a car, though.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, what I want to know, you are your kind.
Tougher.
Tough one. I was talking.
Whoa. Touch of Grey.
No, it's Malo.
I've kind of talked over that. You want to try?
You want to give him another shot?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
We like you. We're going to give you another shot. You ready?
I appreciate it.
Here we go.
Whoa, what I want to know, you are your kind.
I'm still a deadhead. I don't know.
No, it's Malo.
Man, it's tough.
It's a tough one, yeah.
But you can kind of get it. On the other hand, how many hits of acid have you done in your life?
Too many to remember that song.
Right.
See?
Yeah. That's a good answer.
Did he win just for that?
Dr. Drew would always say there's a threshold, and it'd be like 20 hits, and after that,
brain damage.
Look out. Right.
Oh, I got like six to go.
Yeah.
Really?
Use them wisely. Hey, Mark?
Yes?
You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Whoa, what I want to know, you are your kind.
Is that me?
Yes.
That's Uncle John's band.
Wow.
Wow, guys.
Nice.
It's bueno.
It's bueno, Ozzy.
One of the best Grateful Dead songs for my money. I always love that song.
Have you ever seen them in concert?
No, I haven't. It's a weird thing because it's like I feel like it's a club that you have to join. It's like joining a health club or spa or something. It's a commitment. Like when I go to a concert, I just want to go work out and go home.
Yeah.
I feel like once you go see a Grateful Dead concert, you may just quit your job, get a divorce, and hit the road. Yeah. I'm scared of it.
Right.
You don't have to be a deadhead for that to happen to you.
Oh, really? Yes.
Yeah.
You've quit, divorced, and hit the road, Bonaduce? Yeah. Well, this is true. Two out of three, at least.
You'd pull up in your car, you'd take your shoes off, make sure you hadn't showered in 3 weeks.
And, it's an appealing lifestyle.
Well, wait, you got to dab on the patchouli.
We have two more to go. Let's see if we can fire through them. Mark? Oh, wait a minute. Mike?
Yeah.
What's up, brother?
How's it going, man?
You ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
She's my cherry pie, cool drink, what a social sweet surprise.
Oh, that's definitely Jerry's favorite. That's cherry pie.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
It's bueno.
He caught the curveball.
Technically, it works, yeah. We'll see you at the Greek, I should say, on the 28th, I do believe. All right,
you'll see him on a Greek. You know you will.
Yeah, last one. Here we go. Let's see. Why don't we do... Let's do an easy one. You want to do six?
Sure. Five. Oh.
Five? Let's do five. All right. Let's see. Hold on a second. Let me pot up Rick. Rick?
Yeah.
You ready to go?
Sure, let's do it.
Here we go.
What long straight trip this lane?
Oh, maybe not so easy.
Can I get that one more time?
Yes.
What long straight trip this length?
Jeez.
What a long strange trip?
Mm-hmm.
Song?
I can't. Can you say it one more time? I'm in my car.
Rick, you're a big Dead fan?
Yeah, I just can't hear the lyrics.
You just said them.
Oh, what a long strange trip, and it's from, Casey, not Casey Jones, it's from,
Jude. It rhymes with something I'd like to be doing right now.
That tells me a lot, Adam. There's probably a lot you'd rather be doing.
Wow. I'm sorry.
It's my little, wow.
You're no fan. All right, here we go. Last one. Tim? Tim, you ready to go?
I think I might be able to handle it.
All right, here we go.
Long straight trip this lane.
That might be a little-known song called Truckin'.
Yeah, it's bueno.
That's what we call deep cut, a B-side. You guys ever heard of this one before?
First we got an angry deadhead, and then we got a deadhead that rubbed his wind into the other deadhead's face. Yeah, what's going on with these deadheads?
You had deadhead. That's what
all right, we need to take a break, but first the outro.
This was bueno, Nicaragua named Tycoon.
Love Hell in a Bucket, too. Just love that song. All right, Joel McHale from The Soup, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Tonight at 10 o'clock, yes. Our pleasure, as per usual.
Es bueno.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
We're going to talk about the world's worst babysitter and a little Emmy roundup.
We'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Hi there. My name is Terrence Catheter, and I'm the assistant to Lady J.K. Rowling, uh-huh. And she is visiting small-town libraries, and J.K. would like to stop by and have a little signing and just have a big party there for her fans.
Wow. This sounds great.
Here's what we would like to do. J.K. hates children, so the children would not be allowed to touch her. What we'd like them to do is toss the books to me, her assistant, and then I'll present them to her and she'll sign them.
Are you really serious?
I'm absolutely serious, yes.
Okay.
A lot of celebrities don't like to be touched by their public.
Okay.
She would like to have a youngish man standing next to her, young, handsome, rugged, willing to party and have a good time.
I gotta write this down.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad you're writing this down. Also, fruit punch. She loves fruit punch.
Fruit punch.
Okay, so let's go over those things if we could. Tell me what you have written down there.
Okay. She hates children.
Hates children, yes.
Toss the book to you, the assistant.
Uh-huh.
You'd like to have a youngish man.
Yes, someone handsome, stocky, strong.
Stocky.
Someone single, too, preferably.
Single. Now, I can't promise this, remember?
Well, do your best, because she won't come in unless he's there.
She won't?
No.
Okay.
No.
Single.
Ready to party.
Ready to party, okay. Ready to party.
Yes. I'll be honest with you. She likes to have sex with these men when she's in a town.
This is just getting a little too wild.
I know. It is an unusual thing, but JK is an unusual and special lady who loves men, who loves life, who hates children, who loves to party.
That's fine, and I don't.
Right. Let's just finish the list and make sure we have everything. Tell me what else you have there.
Fruit punch.
She would also like a spray bottle filled with the fruit punch so she can spray the children if they can get too close to her.
Spray bottle to spray children.
Yes. In the eye.
Too close.
Right.
If in the eyes?
Yes, in the eyes or the face or wherever. And not one of those misters. We'll need a nice straight stream.
Okay.
Her chant, which everyone at the library should learn and should say when she walks in the room, which is Yitkadal, Yitkadash, Mika Zumba. Can you say that for me?
No.
Can you
I'm
please?
I'm not going to write that down.
You don't need to write it down, but I need you to repeat it back to
I'm
me.
I'm willing to work with you, but
yes.
Please, let's just get this done.
Okay. I need her check made out to J.K. Rowling's Industries.
Uh-huh. And how much is this?
$45,000.
I cannot authorize this.
Listen, she'd be willing to give it right back to the library if I could just get the chant from you once.
Okay, what is it again?
Yitkadal, Yitkadash, Mika Zumba.
Yitkadal, Yitkadash, Mika Zumba.
Mika Zumba.
Mika Zumba.
One more time and do it
no,
with some energy.
This is enough.
Please.
No, that's a no.
I just need a little energy from you.
No.
If you could just think it to yourself, that would be fine, okay?
Okay.
Think it in your head.
Okay. And somebody
are you thinking it
back to
in
you?
Your?
Yes, I
okay.
am.
Thank you. You've been so sweet.
Thank you.
Ta.
Bye.
Ta. The great Jimmy Kimmel. And speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel's game show, Set for Life, the series premieres tonight on ABC at 8 p.m. I've not seen it, but I look forward to seeing it. Jimmy Kimmel, Set for Life, tonight, 8 p.m., ABC, and, of course, Crank the Anchors on MTV2 tonight at 10 o'clock. T.
Yes.
T's in studio with the news. Bonaducci is in Hotlanta. He's got a gig tonight. He's with us via the ISDN line. T.
Yeah.
News, baby.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Elizabeth Edwards, John Edwards' wife, recently said that Hillary Clinton was trying to, quote, behave as a man and not talk about women's issues. So Bill Clinton stood up for his wife, Hillary, yesterday on Good Morning America.
If you look at the record on women's issues, I defy you to find anybody who has run for office in recent history who's got a longer history of working for women, for families, and children than Hillary does. I'm proud of Hillary's record and her lifetime commitment. And I don't think she's trying to be a man. I don't think it's inconsistent with being a woman that you can also be knowledgeable on military and security affairs and be strong when the occasion demands it. That's, I don't consider that being manly. I consider that being a leader.
But you have to admit, having a penis and testicles
totally helps.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Bill.
I don't think Hillary has a penis.
At least testicles. Yes,
he is bueno.
She certainly has bills.
Or at least, you know, what? Remember seeing those pictures of China naked, the wrestler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, after all those roids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Clitoral megalia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little megalia going on there.
Yeah. Did battle with Godzilla.
And somewhere. By Schmeglia.
Clitoral megalia. Mothra, clitoral megalia, and Godzilla. All square off.
Right on.
Clitoral megalia.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's your wrestling name.
Oh, thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Now, you guys both have kids, and as mm-hmm. fathers, you're probably very cautious about who you allow to babysit your children.
Yes. They can't speak English, and they can't ask for more than $8 an hour.
Well, maybe you should stick with that, because mm-hmm. A 20-year-old woman named Michelle Rendino of Syracuse, New York.
She's hired.
She was asked to babysit her four nieces and nephews.
Mm.
I mean, this was a woman's sister, somebody who she probably thought, you know, she could rely on. And these kids, four of them, were all under the age of six.
Mm-hmm.
So this 20-year-old Michelle was watching the kids. They were taking a walk down the Syracuse Inner Harbor when Michelle told the kids, wait here a second, I've got to go into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Leaves the kids all under 6 years old, so she can go into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
A man who was fishing in the harbor saw the kids crying alone. He called the police, and when they got there, the oldest girl, who was six, told them that, quote, Aunt Michelle went into the woods to take nasty pictures. About an hour later, Michelle and a guy in a wheelchair came out of the woods.
God bless her.
She told the cops that she was taking nude photos so she could, quote, get back at her ex-boyfriend. The guy in the wheelchair was the guy taking the photos, and he was a complete stranger that she grabbed on her way to the woods and asked to take the nude pictures of her to get back at her ex. The kids were returned to the sister, and Michelle is looking at four misdemeanor counts of endangering
what?
The welfare.
What do you have, like a 4x wheelchair?
That he could get in the woods?
Yeah.
All he said was, that's the way I roll.
You're right. I mean, you need some shock absorber.
This is the beauty, knobby tires on that baby. Here's the beauty about you chicks, and it's the beauty about being a guy. You can walk up to a strange guy and go, hey, I want to go drop my pants in the woods. Here's a camera. Okay. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, I could just say, I want you to have sex with me, and you would.
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Because you're looking at me. And I've seen the words come out of your mouth.
When I say you, I mean...
I'll sex you down right now.
Or up. Do you sex people up or down?
I'll go laterally with you and horizontally as well. That's right.
Well, speaking of sexy, I know you're dying to see Hairspray, Adam.
Mm.
And Danny.
Mm.
Are we moving on from the having sex with Teresa part of the show?
See how I did that?
I'm finished. I don't know about you, by the way.
Do you still need me to talk more?
No.
Sorry. Can you smoke in Nevada in these studios?
Why don't you throw a hot pocket in the microwave for me and quit yapping so much?
How did you know that?
Hairspray is out.
Yeah.
John Travolta plays a woman.
Yeah, couldn't tell.
And you've probably heard him talk about this copious times. He had to wear a lot of padding, you know, to pad out his boobs and his butt. And here he is discussing such with Letterman.
How did they react to you when you were
well,
there?
Well, they
others?
Forgot it was me under there, Dave. Yeah. I mean, my, for God's sake, they were feeling my breast and my ass.
What?
Oh, yeah. And I was a slut about it. I gave it up.
No.
I did. I didn't care, Dave.
You didn't care.
I didn't.
What about your self-esteem?
Screw it.
Yeah. You just wanted to be popular.
John Travolta.
I can't figure out if I love him or hate him.
I know. I'm kind of on the fence, but I will see Hairspray.
You will, really?
Yes.
It's a remake of a Broadway play that was a remake of a movie.
I know, but it was a really good Broadway show. And
all
I will see it. Well, the other big movie opening this weekend is I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. We spoke to Adam Sandler earlier in the day. We spoke to Kevin James, I think, a couple days ago. Here, both of them do an interview, and they talk about who's funnier from E.T.
Sam is funnier.
No, no. I'd rather hang out with you than me.
Sandman's funnier.
No.
It's been proven time and time again.
No way.
Look at his resume.
That's got nothing
to do with it. The man is a legend.
It's true. But hanging out, though, honestly, Kevin James is way funnier.
Do you guys ever argue, Adam, you and Danny, about who's funnier?
Once in a while, we'll get into a 69 position and blow smoke up each other's toe-cut for a half hour while we're being interviewed.
No, Corolla, come on.
Danny,
you gave me the job when I was
come
down.
On. But Danny, you know, I've always looked up to you like a shorter brother.
Which is amazing the way only a guy with your talent could look up to a guy half your size. That's how
Danny,
bright you
Danny's
are.
Danny's pubes ain't red, they're auburn.
Now, when Danny blows smoke up your ass, is it cigarette smoke?
Oh. It's sing it up and it turns into crack smoke. What are you, stupid?
And then I belch out a heart.
Well, in closing, Emmy nominations announced yesterday. A few new shows breaking through into the best show, but drama and comedy categories. The new shows honored this year with nominations are Heroes, 30 Rock, and Ugly Betty.
She's so beautiful.
Ugly Betty?
Yes.
Wow.
America Ferrera also nominated. If she wins, by the way, Adam, she will be the first Latina to win in that category, an Emmy.
I'll vomit twice.
Wow. She's adorable.
She's the new beautiful. No one wants to.
Wow.
All right, T, you cool?
That's it. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
Need to take a quick break. When we come back, phone screener Kyle.
Who?
Phone screener Kyle. It's his last day here.
I might cry.
We're going to bring him on. We're going to send him out on top. Having him get his boss a coffee. No, we're going to talk to phone screener Kyle and be prepared for a heartfelt send-off after this. Speaking of Mike Jackass.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus
it was
Christ, we've been on radio for a year. You can't figure out what the thing is that you're talking
into. I don't like doing the inside.
Don't give me your crap. Let's just get this over with.
How about this? Somebody in show business who doesn't like the limelight but just wants to work hard.
That's Kyle.
There you go.
And Kyle promised me this. When I show up to do Kimmel's show in 4 to 6 months, and we're going down the hall, and you're holding the clipboard, and you pass me, and you say, "Hey, Ace Man, how's it hanging?" And I go, "Huh? All right." And I just walk past you. This will not be offended.
No eye contact.
Because I will not remember you after this day.
Fair enough. I understand that. That's the way you work. I get it. No problem.
That's right. I'm like a shark with Alzheimer's.
I thought this was going to be where you
forward.
Some
oh,
nice
yeah.
things to come.
Oh, yes, Kyle. Who doesn't like Kyle?
Apparently that caller earlier.
He was angry.
Other than that, but I mean, is this safe to say, if you think Kyle's an a-hole, then you're an a-hole?
Yes.
He's a good barometer.
Yeah.
Now,
it's
look.
Impossible to not like him.
Right. Now, there are people you like and people I like, but if somebody says, "I have a problem with that person," you'd go, "Yeah, I can see they can be a little grating sometimes, or you got to get to know them or their acquired taste," but not Kyle. Salt of the earth, hardworking, sweet, could buy beer when he was 14 because of the full beard and hair down to his ass,
right.
And will be missed. And it's your time for everyone listening to be just a little more like Kyle. All you folks that have a lukewarm reputation over at the office, it's not because it's political, and it's not because people conspire against you. It's because you're half an a-hole.
Well, that's a fine compliment.
Kyle's a great guy, and there's nobody I've ever met that said anything different than that.
Well, that's quite the compliment. I'm very flattered.
Do you have anything you want to say to Adam on your last day,
Kyle? Definitely. You know, I just want to say thank you. It's been an awesome time. I've been over here for a little over a year and working on the film and on the radio show with you. You gave me a lot of confidence. It was very nice. You know, I've always worked hard but always lacked confidence. And working here, everyone has been so great. And I feel very good leaving. I mean, obviously I'm going to miss it a lot, but I couldn't be leaving with a better taste in my mouth. You guys are awesome, and sure. Thank you very much. I'm very indebted.
So Adam's ass tastes good.
I never bossed
him. Go home and get your fucking shine box.
You don't.
Ever pull the Star Trip on you, Kyle?
No, of course not.
That's part of Star Trip is me threatening to kill him if he ever brings that up. Yeah. So you're going to miss us. Every time you wake up in the middle of the night, look at the alarm, see it's 4:45, and you don't have to wake up. You're going to miss us.
I'm going to miss you, Kyle. Every morning when I come in, Kyle and Angie are here, and just seeing such a sweet face and his nice demeanor and his hardworking attitude, it really makes my day, and I'm very sorry you're leaving, but I wish you well at Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Well, thank you. And, again, thank everyone here. It's just a step forward, and I'm not leaving because of any negative things. I love it here, and I wish I could stay, but it's just a...
Kalani wants to say goodbye. Kalani?
Oh, great.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening?
What's going on, Kyle?
What's happening, man?
Hey, man, thank you. Every time I've called up, you've been nothing but nice, and you're an inspiration. Between you and Adam, I'm sitting here operating heavy equipment in this wonderful heat, and you guys inspire me, so...
Well, thank you, Kalani.
Thank you very much.
You were working construction when you just picked up and moved here, yes?
Well, when I left, I was working at in a warehouse, and I was working on spas and gazebos, doing repairs, building pool tables, just grunt work. And before that, I had worked on with a general contractor doing what have you, so...
If I had a nickel for every guy who broke into show business via the gazebo repair route, right. I'd be a rich man right now.
The story is old as time.
All the greats worked on gazebos before they actually got on the silver screen.
Yeah.
Gazebo repairman extraordinaire. Well, Kyle, you will be missed. Thank God.
Can I just say real quickly,
yes.
Kyle, I wish I'd gotten to know you better so I'd miss you like these guys do, but it's cool.
Well, thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
I know about you.
You are always very nice to me, and I will miss you terribly.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, man. Likewise.
Going up the street to Kimmel, so we'll get to stay in touch. Enjoy all the a-hole riders over there.
I'll still drop by. I'll come by
once.
The
poop doesn't stink, and they never craft out a bad idea. And we'll take a quick break.
All right.
Be back to wrap up after this. Successfully behind us. Duchter?
Yes, sir.
Nice job over there in Hot Atlanta.
Thank you very much. And if I might quickly say, I'm picking my winner right now for the Comic-Con thing I'm doing in San Diego next weekend.
Mm.
Are you ready?
Yes.
The big old winner that's going to Comic-Con with me is Josh Schwarzenberger.
Who? Not God, the name man. Of a nerd?
Josh Schwarzenberger.
Clint McKenna is the name of a nerd, but Josh Schwarzenberger.
We're going to check out all those new NBC shows like Heroes and Journeyman and Chuck and all that stuff. We got VIP section. It's very cool. If you guys still want to go down, go to 971freefm.com. You can check it out. We can still roll in together. But it's Comic-Con. It's all powered by us and NBC. Thank you.
Josh just fell off his real-life doll. He was so shocked by this news. All right. Well, I want to thank Adam Sandler. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry in theaters today. Joel McHale.
I have sex with enormous, lifelike, totally correct plastic dolls.
Joel McHale. The Soup tonight on E! Teresa Strasser. TV Water Cooler tonight. Find out what everyone, and when I say everyone, I mean her immediate family, is talking about when they're talking about TV Water Cooler tonight on the TV Guide Network. And, of course, Danny down at Comic-Con coming up this Next Friday. Next Saturday. That's right. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I collect dolls, real dolls that I have sex with.